Good evening, everybody. You're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight on Tuesday. We've got a great show for you this evening. Lots to talk about, lots to get into. And as I said tonight on Twitter, and I think I alluded to this last night, tonight we are finally shifting gears and going back to the issues. We are going back into the news. For people that are joining us for the first time tonight, or maybe you've joined us for the first time in the last 3 to 4 weeks, I've been trying to remind people that have been watching the show for years, understand that this show is normally about current events. You know, it's normally about elections and immigration and race relations and culture and things like that, but we have really just been swept up in this conflict. You know, typically when it's a slow news day, I'll say, there's really not so much I can do about the content during the show. I report the news, and outside of some very, you know, bad ideas, we can't really make the news. But for the past 4 weeks, we have been the news. The show has been the news. I have been the news. The Groyper Wars has been dominating the show for the past 4 weeks. And so I think this is the first time since mid to late October that we've had a show not pertaining to this question and answer session crusade, not pertaining to these vicious smears against me. You know, I promised on Thursday that that was going to be our last Groyper War show for phase one. You know, phase one complete. Friday was our 500th episode anniversary show. Last night, we were dragged back in. They dragged us back into the Groyper War mentality. And, you know, I could do more of that tonight, but I said, you know what? It's really about time that we refocus on the issues that made the Groyper Wars to begin with. Because, of course, it was this show talking about immigration, talking about demographics, and other issues that in many ways inspired what has been going on for the last 4 weeks. And I'm sure at this point people are curious, well, who is Nick Fuentes? Who are the Groypers? And what is it that they have to say? And we've been sort of going through that, doing some entry-level type stuff, going over it. But tonight, you know, hopefully people can learn that what we're about is not just self-promotion and provoking people for the sake of provoking people, but we actually do have some very legitimate grievances against the establishment, against Conservative Inc., some things going on in the country which probably a lot of people are not aware of. So tonight, the focus is going to be on demographics. And I think what Charlie Kirk said during the Groyper Wars, the one thing that he said that stood out to me as maybe defining, what defines him in contrast against us, is he said that he does not believe that demographics is destiny. And to me, that was the most important thing that was said in the past 4 weeks. And sure, there have been some peripheral issues, you know, some other supporting issues. You know, we've been talking about dual allegiance and foreign aid, foreign wars. We've been talking about Christianity and the role of traditional social conservatism. We've been talking about, on a more tertiary level, the crime bill that was passed this year, right? The First Step Act. We've been talking about some other ancillary issues. But to me, the main one that stands out is the issue of demography. I think almost everything follows from demography. That is our destiny. Who is in the country? Of course, it's basically common sense. You know, what is a country but the people that comprise it? And therefore, the fate or the destiny of that country is decided by who those people are, what they believe, where they're from, what they're about, all that. And so Charlie Kirk said, you know, he is not cynical. He does not believe that who comprises the country determines its fate, and we do. And so we're going to dive into an article tonight from the LA Times, which basically vindicates things that we've been saying for years, things that other people like Michelle Malkin have been saying for decades. We'll also be looking at the results from some recent elections in the South, particularly two gubernatorial elections in Louisiana and Mississippi this month, which will sort of fill in the blanks here, give us some specificity about what we're talking about, and it should be a pretty good show. Like I said, one of the first substantive shows, and not like the other ones haven't had substance, but you know what I'm saying, one of the first shows that's actually about really the core issues since we got started with this Groyper War stuff. So we're transitioning, we're having this return to normalcy on the show. And I have to tell you, it's been a long 4 weeks. I've been traveling almost every weekend or hosting people in my city. We've been doing these marathon streams. You know, on this show, we've been going some nights for well over 3 hours, doing D-Live streams, 2 to 3 hours, covering Q&As. You know, today I was on InfoWars, and then I did my own D-Live stream. tomorrow I'll be on a radio show in the morning. We are, of course, covering, and I also should say this, tomorrow we are covering, I think it's the fifth Democratic debates. I've basically lost track at this point. Yes, it's the fifth Democratic debate, right? We had one in June, July, September, October, and now November. Yeah, so the fifth Democratic debate is tomorrow. I'll be covering it on DLive, so that's going to be another marathon night, and then we'll be doing the show. And again, for people that are new here, when we do the coverage for the debates, we cover the debates live, live reaction, live commentary as the debate goes on DLive. We do that for copyright reasons, and then we come back on the YouTube channel for the analysis, for, you know, the breakdown of what happened. So that'll be tomorrow. All of it is to say, it's been very busy. It's been very hectic. I'm used to being, you know, sort of a Mediterranean about my work ethic. Don't get me wrong. It's very high IQ. It's very thorough. You know, Mediterraneans are really in touch with the cosmos, really genius level people. But, you know, we like to take our naps. We like to take our sweet time, you know. So it's not been a lot of that. It's been interviews, phone calls, texts, messages, emails, you know, all over the place. And I should say, just before we jump into the current events, just one more thing. So we have our Democratic debate tomorrow. It's been busy. But, you know, one more thing before we do dive in, I just want to say, you know, as we sort of adjust and go back into the normal swing of things, the smears continue. You know, like I don't know if I said this yet in this show, but you may have seen on Twitter that, and I kid you not, it was 1 minute, 1 minute into last night's show, Turning Point USA launched the biggest smear job that they have done yet on me from Benny Johnson. 1 minute into my broadcast, not when the stream started, but when I went live, in other words, when I wasn't on Twitter ready to respond to things, and I don't think that was a coincidence, Benny Johnson drops a 15 or 20 tweet thread posting all kinds of clips and posts and out of context messages, and says it's time for conservatives to stop cuddling Nick Fuentes. This is what he's all about. And, you know, obviously, if you're watching my show, you're giving me a chance, or you're a fan. And I think that's the best way that you can find out what I'm about, you know? So all of this is to say, we can't do every show addressing every little smear, every little clip, every little thing. I don't think that's a worthwhile use of time. Also, even if we did think it was, we wouldn't have enough time in the world to address everything that's been said. So welcome to the show. Thanks for watching. You know, no, I normally don't say that at the top of the show, but I think the best way for people to figure out who we are, what we're about, what America First is about, is to simply sit down, listen for a couple hours, and watch what we have to say. Not in 30 seconds, not in 10 seconds. You know, not somebody maliciously framing in order to create a desired perception, but just watch what we have to say. And I think anybody would find what I'm about to say, or what we'll say for the rest of the week, quite compelling and hard to ignore. So we're going to dive into the current events. You know, enough about the hit jobs and the smears. We get enough of that. Time to refocus on what it's all about, and that is demographics. That's the name of the game for this century, is rapid demographic change in America, which is driven by mass immigration, both legal and illegal, which is driving this change. And so we're going to start out with an article from the LA Times. The headline of the article is, California's changing demographics will further doom Republicans. And to me, this is so rich, because this is not the first time we've seen a headline like this. But this is always the refrain, this is always what we hear from the left, which is that whenever somebody like me, or the Groypers, or America First, when we talk about changing demographics as it pertains to the Electoral College, as it pertains to Republicans' electoral success, in other words, their success in elections, whenever we talk about demographic change transforming the country on levels other than just economics, in other words, when we talk about how mass immigration affects the country, and we're not just talking about the economy, we're talking about social changes, cultural changes, you know, changes in our schools, workplaces, neighborhoods, crime rates, these kinds of things. Of course, what do we hear from the left? And even from the right, people like Charlie Kirk, we hear this is a conspiracy theory. We hear that this is all made up. This is the great replacement conspiracy theory. It is a totally debunked alt-right myth that, you know, we're trying to peddle racial hatred by coming up with this stuff. And so on the one hand, they'll say this about us. When we talk about it, it's a conspiracy theory. When we talk about our concerns for the Electoral College, well, this is race hustling, right? Or this is race baiting, or we're trying to gin up racial resentment. But then they go and publish things like this. Take it from the horse's mouth themselves. It's not even me saying it anymore. This is the mainstream media. And, you know, a lot of people, this is going to be, you know, please, if you've been watching the show for a long time, I'm recognizing a lot of this is going to be sort of the usual suspects. But, you know, we do have a much bigger audience as of the Groyper War. So it's important to sort of retread and focus on some of the key issues. And I know a lot of people are patient with this. But so as I said, the headline is California's changing demographics will further doom Republicans. And you should see the picture that they choose. The caption for this photograph says, students from Belmont Senior High School rally at City Hall in 1994 to protect Proposition 187, a California ballot measure that frightened millions of Latinos and turned them even more against the Republican Party. And it's a picture of all these young Hispanic kids, you know, visibly Hispanic kids waving Mexican flags with a big banner that has a slash through 187, Proposition 187. And all of this is to say, this is the future of California. This is the future of America. This is the effect it'll have on our party. And so the article says, quote, Democrats dominate politics in California and Republicans are doomed for one simple overriding reason, shifting demographics. Okay. Now, this is not, by the way, V-Dare. This is not American Renaissance. This is not the Daily Stormer. This is not the hacker known as 4chan. This is the LA Times that says Republicans are doomed and Democrats dominate politics in California for one simple overriding reason, shifting demographics. In other words, the people in the state are changing. They went from white people, multi-generational, white people, generally speaking, to Hispanics and Asians and other immigrant categories. The article says, in short, the GOP's core constituency is white people, and they are a declining slice of the California population pie. Conversely, Democrat-backing Latinos and Asian Americans have been expanding their slices. That pattern is projected to continue, although at a slower pace. So the raw numbers won't be getting any better for the already weakened California GOP. A longtime Democrat strategist, Bob Schrum, who is the director of the Jesse Unruh Institute of Politics at USC, says, quote, Republicans are heading into a demographic cul-de-sac. This is not just in California, but nationally. It's happening here first, but it'll tend to happen around the country. This is the LA Times. This is the LA Times that I am reading. You know, again, this is not V-Dare. I don't know if I could say it any better about what's happening. It says Republican guru Mike Murphy, who has worked on six presidential campaigns and managed several gubernatorial races, including former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in 2003, says, quote, the Republican Party does great with white voters, particularly older white voters, but they're shrinking as part of the electorate. California is the future. It tends to be more non-Caucasian than most states, but we're heading into that for the rest of the nation. And how are Republicans doing in California? They've got to figure out how to compete here, or it's the ice age. This is a term that I've been using on the show. I call what's happening the electoral winter. That, as they say, California is the future. 90% of the Republicans that voted for Donald Trump in 2016 were white. 90% of the people that voted for Trump in 2016 were white. And of course, if white people are comprising an ever smaller percentage of the population nationally, but more specifically in the battleground states like Texas, like Georgia, like Arizona, Republican strongholds, well then, and it's happening much quicker in those states than in some of the other places like the Midwest or in the greater West, then of course, the prospects of a Republican winning national office decline every year, every election, until at a certain point it becomes impossible. And it becomes impossible because these voting demographics that we're talking about, they are not malleable. That's the key word there. The country is becoming less white. The Republican electorate depends on the white demographic, and the people that are replacing the white voters in the battleground states, they are not malleable as voters. In other words, they are not persuadable. You know, we're going to get into some of the numbers in this article and beyond, and some of these gubernatorial races in the South, and you'll see that These new voters vote overwhelmingly for Democrat, and even in spite of some of the issues that they support, which may be conservative, they still support Democrats overwhelmingly. They're not persuadable. So, you know, this is, mainstream Republican strategists in California, mainstream Democrat strategists, politicos who are saying, yes, this is an ice age. This is an electoral winter. Republicans will be frozen out of national office and in many places statewide office because of what? Shifting racial demographics as a result of immigration. It says demographics are an eye glazer. Not really, not for me. But California's historic shift has been a political game changer. The state has turned from battleground purple to one-sided deep blue in 25 years. And remember, it wasn't purple. I mean, it was simply purple 25 years ago, but prior to being purple in the 1990s, it was deep red. In the same way that it is one side deep blue today, California was once one-sided deep red in the 60s, 70s, 1980s. I said this on a show last week. Nixon carried the state of California 6 times. Ronald Reagan carried it 4 times. It was the same way that it is with Democrats today, with Republicans 50 years ago, 25 years ago, it was purple, and today we know that it's deep red, or rather it's deep blue, one-sided, hardcore Democrat. And of course, it's shifting demographics. It says, it's not solely, arguably not even mostly, because of the 1994 Republican-backed anti-illegal immigration initiative, Proposition 187. That measure usually gets the credit or blame depending on one's politics. The initiative would have denied most public services, including schooling, to people living here illegally. Voters approved it in a landslide, but federal judges tossed it out, which we'll return to that in a moment, why that's important. The voters overwhelmingly approved this proposition that would deny public services to illegals, but it was judges that tossed it out. Mandy to the People was against mass immigration, but unaccountable bureaucrats who don't get elected tossed it out. It says, no question, the harsh campaign pitch for Proposition 187 angered and frightened millions of Latinos, turning them even more against the GOP. It also sparked a new generation of Latino state political leaders. This is Murphy's analogy. He says, quote, pretend you're buying a car. You go to a Republican dealership, and the salesman's first line is, I want to throw your parents and grandparents in jail. Now let me tell you about the new Chevys. And the dealership wonders why it isn't selling any cars. Now, of course, implicit in the analogy is that there is a tribal kinship with illegals and citizens. In other words, that these people are not voting based on ideology or based on any kind of civic mentality, impersonal civic mentality, that one might say, you know, surely any Hispanic legal resident, any Hispanic multi-generational citizen would say that there's a problem with illegal immigration. Obviously, for a number of reasons. That it's breaking the law, it's a drain on public services, it mocks the government, it's a security threat, all these things. But instead, as this analogy implies, or what we can infer from it, is that instead of thinking in terms of what is good for the state of California, or what is good for the country, again, in an impersonal civic mindset or a national mindset, they instead identify with the criminal, they identify with the illegal, they identify with their tribal, their racial or ethnic brothers. They say, as is in the analogy, we're locking up their grandparents and brothers and sisters, their Hispanic brothers and sisters. They're thinking based on their tribe rather than based on their civic responsibility. Another important note. It says today, 6 of 8 statewide elected officials are people of color. In other words, non-white. 3 are Latino, 2 are Asian, and 1 is African-American. All 8 are Democrats. Republicans haven't elected a statewide official since 2006. Democrats hold supermajorities in both legislative bodies and own California's U.S. House delegation 46-7. So, I mean, we know this. But all this probably would have happened even if Proposition 187 had never existed. The divisive initiative just made the transition to total power easier for Democrats. The GOP demise was inevitable, given its increasingly hardline conservatism as pragmatic moderates left the party. The shrinking GOP was on opposite sides of Democrats and independents on many issues, gun control, abortion, environmental protection, taxes and spending, immigration, and a border wall, not to mention their opinions of the immigrant-bashing polarizer-in-chief, President Trump, which, you know, that's obviously editorializing. It says in 1990, Republicans made up 39% of California's registered voters. Today, they're down to 23.6%. It's all in the numbers. In 1990, 57% of California's population was white. Latinos constituted about 26%, with Asians at 9% and African Americans at 7%. In 2020, the population is estimated to be 39.4% Latino, 38.2% white, 13% Asian, and 5.7% black, according to the State Finance Department's Demographic Research Unit. Projecting to 2040, the population pie is expected to be about 42% Latino, 35.6% white, 12.5% Asian, and 5.9% black. In Los Angeles County, a little over 26% of the population is white, and the number is projected to dip to 24% by 2040. Latinos are at 50%. So in LA County, whites are a quarter of the population. The nation's second largest city, whites are one quarter, less than that, 24% of the population by 2040. The reason all this matters politically is that voters of color are snubbing the Republican Party and they're increasing in numbers. The majority of Latino likely voters, 58%, are registered as Democrats, 23% are independents, 15% are Republicans. Only 15% of Latinos in California are registered Republicans. Among Asian likely voters, 43% are Democrats and just 18% are Republicans. A solid 72% of black voters are Democrats. So, you know, clearly very, very slim, tiny margins for blacks are registered Republicans. White voters are mixed, as they've always been. In other words, they're malleable. 40% are Democrat, 35% are Republican, and 20% are independent. And so the article goes on more like this. I think at this point, it's safe to say we could stop somewhere. I don't like to read off the article for the whole show, but this article basically sums it up. It tells us exactly what we know. And I think the most critical line from the whole article is that California is the future. Understand, this is not about legal status. When we're looking at these numbers, first of all, the numbers don't lie. You don't have to, you know, think that what we're trying to peddle is, you know, good or bad, tasteful or not, racist or not, anything like that. You don't have to be, as Charlie Kirk says, cynical or skeptical. The numbers do not lie. The numbers are black and white. Unlike Conservative Inc., unlike people paid by billionaires who profit from mass immigration, the statistics do not lie. It is right there in black and white, and it's a very simple equation. Just as the article says, all these states, which are representative of the country, are going from majority or plurality white in some cases to majority or plurality non-white. Definitely majority non-white, but in some cases it's plurality Latino, or in some states it's plurality black, like in Mississippi, right? So you see that the country at large and in these battleground states, it goes from a predominantly white demographic, and the key thing here is that white voters are malleable, to all non-white voters, or majority non-white voters. And what's important is not simply that the non-white voters are overwhelmingly Democrat. You know, I just read off the numbers. It's only 18% of Asians identifying as, rather than, it's 18% of Asians are registered Republican. 15% of Latinos are registered Republican. And understand, almost all of the immigration for the last 50 years has been either Asian or Hispanic. I think it's just something like 50-40 in terms of, it's like 50% Hispanic immigrants coming over and 40% is Asian immigrants coming over. And they vote for Republicans barely in the single, rather in the double digits. They barely register as Republicans in the double digits, 15 and 18%. These are the people that are coming over to California, and not just to the deep blue states, but to Arizona, Colorado, Georgia, Virginia, Florida, Texas, New Mexico, all the main battleground states. And what do you think the result is? Not only do the states go blue, but they stay blue permanently. And people point out, you know, and Charlie Kirk pointed out, and the reason I keep bringing him up is because he is the foil for what we're talking about on America First, that the demography here is destiny, that these numbers should be raising some red flags, should be sounding the alarm bells, right? Somebody like that will say that, well, none of this matters. We don't have to be cynical about this. We see these different votes, and, well, white people vote blue sometimes, and, you know, in certain elections, very specific demographics of non-whites like Cubans in Florida will vote in slightly higher numbers for Republicans. But, of course, this is missing the point, because while whites sometimes vote for Democrats, they also sometimes vote for Republicans. To me, what is maybe the most key thing in the article, aside from the fact that, you know, the overarching stuff about demographics being destiny and California's the future and all that, is it says that whites are, as always it says, whites as always are a mixed bag. They split pretty evenly. 40% Democrat, 35% Republican, 20-some percent independent. In other words, white people can be won by either side. They can be swayed and convinced based on, again, as I said, impersonal, independent, civic-minded arguments. You know, for example, Illinois is a perfect example. We have had our fair share of bad governors, right? We have had our, if you are familiar with the situation in Illinois, we've had something like the last, what is it, however many governors, I think like most of them have ended up in jail. We've had Republicans and Democrats come and go. You know, recently we had Pat Quinn was our governor, I think prior to, was it 2014, I think, or 2012, something like that. The governor was Pat Quinn, a Democrat, and he did a terrible job. You know, he ran the state's finances into the ground, and he was this feckless, terrible guy. And largely because of white people in, you know, not Cook County, basically everywhere except for the city of Chicago, rebelling against Pat Quinn and choosing Republicans because they saw Bruce Rauner as having the better platform, it went from a blue governor to a red governor. And the same thing happened recently. It went from Bruce Rauner to, you know, this other guy. What's the current governor's name? It's some Jewish Democrat whose name escapes me at the moment. I'm a little bit flustered right now with everything that's been going on. I've been focusing on the statewide races, but we go from Democrat to Republican, Republican to Democrat, and this is driven, you know, the city of Chicago and Cook County always stays blue. The predominant cities, you know, Peoria, Rockford, Springfield, they all stay blue. What is variable are the white people in the middle, the white people in the cracks who sometimes go independent and sometimes go Republican and sometimes go Democrat. What is key about this demographic change is not simply that the people are coming here, Hispanics, Asians, and so on, and voting Democrat, but they never vote Republican. They are not malleable. And you can look, there's a number of different studies. I saw a very interesting one that Vox Day posted the other week, and it showed that even looking at black voters, if you look at how they vote on certain issues, they found that even black conservatives who are conservative on guns, conservative on abortion, conservative on gay marriage, even they overwhelmingly voted Democrat in spite of the issues. What does this tell us? It tells us that what is happening is that the Democrats, and to a certain extent the Republicans, you know, for different reasons, are importing a new electorate. They are importing a new electorate that votes one way, that is predictable, that does not listen to different arguments, that is obedient, that will go along with the messaging from the given party. And what happens as a result of this is there is no accountability for the government. You know, what happens when you have, you know, a totally non-white demographic in America? You know, the country goes, California and LA have already gone minority white, right? But what happens in 2040 when the whole country goes minority white? Right? And the only demographic, right, that is determining the elections is these Asian immigrants and Hispanic immigrants and the, you know, traditional blacks who go every election 75, 80, in some cases as high as 98% Democrat. What do you think is the result? Complete and total unaccountability. People that know that no matter what they do, no matter what they say, they will have people that will reliably put them in office. We will transition into a one-party state. And notice the grand irony here. This is the best part of it all. The grand irony is that Conservative Inc. and establishment Republicans tell us not to worry about this. They say that, well, not to worry. You know, the way that we're going to combat this is we're just going to have these Latino leadership summits, right? I know ethnic kinship is a really strong force, but you know what else is much stronger? Benny Johnson telling Hispanics that Democrats are the real racists, you know? So Abuelita and Abuelo getting arrested and deported, you know, that does not influence Latino voters. And this ethnic kinship with the Democratic Party, this is nothing compared to Benny Johnson simply telling them that we're going to have pro-business tax policies and we're going to have economic freedom zones and these rundown ghettos. You know, they look like Brazil. They look like Mexico City, right? So they tell us all this stuff. They tell us that demographics are not destiny. We just have to convince them. But above all that, they say the real question is not about race, which of course we know that it is because we look at how, you know, these votes are not breaking down on ideological grounds. They're breaking down on racial grounds. Obviously, not all Hispanics and not all Asians are liberals. You know, you probably have a lot of extremely conservative Asians and a lot of extremely conservative Hispanics, but yet they overwhelmingly vote for one party. So it's obviously being racialized as opposed to being polarized along ideology. They say, don't worry about that, however. The big battle is against socialism. This is what Donald Trump wants to make the 2020 election about. Or maybe you might say that this is what Kirk and some of the other Establishment Inc. people, this is what they want to make the 2020 election about. This is what they try to make it about with Mitt Romney and John McCain, is about these economic affairs. They want to make it about tax policy. But what, of course, is the grand irony? What do you think you get when Republicans are unable to win a national election because the Democrats, and we've allowed them to, have imported an obedient class of voters who will outflank us in every battleground state, every Republican stronghold? You know, it's gone. California went down, and now New Mexico has gone down, and Colorado has gone down, and Virginia, and next will be Arizona, and Georgia, and Florida. What do you think we get when Republicans are unable to win a national election because all these states have been totally invaded by people that register at 18 and 50% to vote Republican? You get socialism! You get socialism when this happens. So to me, I'm sitting here wondering, okay, you know, I don't think socialism is the biggest threat to the country, but you know what? It sort of works like this. You can oppose legal immigration and oppose socialism. Or you can simply oppose socialism, right? But if you get legal immigration, you get legal immigration and you also get socialism, right? It's sort of like that old Ben Franklin quote. What did he say? Something to the effect of, you know, if you try to protect security at the expense of liberty, you get neither, right? It's sort of like this. You know, if you don't oppose legal immigration, you get legal immigration and you get socialism anyway. You know, that's the goodie bag, is you get that as the end result, no matter what. You know, so they say that, oh, well, the way that we win is to cobble together this kind of like working class, non-white coalition or something. It's not going to work. It's not going to be enough. The people that are coming here, even if you look and break it down by issue, you know, if it's not convincing you, if you look at how their voter registration looks like, you could break it down by issues. You break it down by what races support an originalist interpretation of the Constitution, which might signify a lot of political things. First Amendment, Second Amendment, you know, the Bill of Rights, separation of powers, impeachment, these kinds of things. The vast majority of non-whites do not support an originalist interpretation of the Constitution. You look at gun control, vast majority of non-whites support gun control. You look at free speech, vast majority of non-whites support hate speech laws. So you break it down issue by issue, and you find that in almost every case, they oppose the so-called creedal identity or ideology of the American nation. So you get legal immigration, and then you also get socialism. And this is what they're telling us. This is what the math says. We're out here, people like myself, people like the Groypers are out there putting our hands up and saying, stop, you know, we're trying to stand in front of this train, which is called mass demographic change, mass immigration. And notice, I'm not talking about so-called line cutters and border jumpers. I'm talking about everybody, whether they're here on an H-1B visa or an F-1 visa or an EB-5 visa or a green card, or they did jump the line or jump the border or cut the line, whatever it is. We are standing in front of this big thing called demographic change, the racial displacement of the native people in the country. And we're saying, stop. Look at where we're headed. It's obvious. It is one track. It is inevitable where it's headed. It is headed towards a lower quality of life. It is headed towards garbage and feces in the streets like in LA. It's headed towards the resurgence of medieval diseases like tuberculosis and the Black Plague, as you've seen in all these different cities, towards crime, towards wage stagnation, towards all across the board. The destruction of the social fabric and the texture of life that prevailed prior to mass immigration. And moreover, if Charlie Kirk doesn't care about any of that, you know, Charlie Kirk says, you see trash on the streets, well, you know, let's make an app for that. Let's get Scott Pressler down there to clean it all up. You know, Turning Point USA will just have to take over for waste management, and you get tuberculosis. Well, that's too bad. You should work harder for better healthcare. You know, if he doesn't care about any of that, if he says, oh, the American culture is declining, well, that's okay. I can get a McDouble for $2, and that's the American dream. Well, then at least he should care about the fact that we're going to get socialism, right? So we're out there saying, look, this is the inevitable result. It is downstream from these electoral consequences. It's downstream from the voting. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. You think about how decisions are made in the country, right? You think about what happens in the country. Who is the sovereign of this nation? It's the federal government. You know, in theory, it's the people. It's a republic, so if the people are sovereign, the government serves them with representatives. This, you know, political theory doesn't really matter. But the federal government makes the decisions in the country. They, in a certain sense, control the quality of life in the sense that they control the regulations and who gets to be in business and who's coming over here and so on. Who determines who is in the federal government and making the decisions? Well, the elected representatives. Who determines the elected representatives? Well, the voters. In particular, voters in battleground states. And what do you see happening across the board? It's this. It's mass demographic change. People are coming over that don't support our issues, don't support our causes, things we know are bad for the country. And we have a very short window to fix it. We don't have time. You know, maybe, and some say, well, I'm not cynical. I think we can rehabilitate all these people. You know, maybe, theoretically, it is possible to make these voters malleable. I don't think it is. I think it is impossible. I think you look at blacks are the perfect example. Blacks as a non-white group have been on this continent the longest. And look at how they vote. I'm about to show you in some of these elections in Louisiana and Mississippi. In the Mississippi and Louisiana elections, they vote 97 or 98% for Democrats. They've been on the continent for the longest. How long have they been here? 500 years, right? And all this is to say, if we believe that these voting patterns are malleable, in other words, that we can make other people think in terms of the civic interest and the national interest, as opposed to purely tribally or ethnically, you know, maybe that's a project that is worthwhile. Maybe that's possible. I don't think it is. But if it hasn't happened with the group that's been here the longest, they're still voting 97, 98% for the Democratic Party. Well, what does that tell you about your prospects for converting people? Is it going to take 1,000 years? Is it going to take 2,000 years? The question that we asked Charlie Kirk at one of these events, which they say was a troll, which they say was an illegitimate grievance, was when are the non-white voters going to start voting Republican in significant numbers? He didn't have an answer. He said, well, I'm not cynical and blah, 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 but it's a legitimate question. Is it going to take another 100 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years, a million years? Because we don't have that kind of time. The Republican electoral winter happens in a decade or two. You know, we don't know exactly when it's going to fall. There are, of course, many variables, you know, to a certain extent, who the candidate is plays a part and, you know, campaigns play a part and things like that. But sometime within the next 2 decades or so, the electoral winter sets in. We don't have that kind of time to go to the 2 million people pouring across the border. What are we going to do? Go down to the southern border wall that's barely constructed. We're going to go to the bollard fence and we're going to pass through the different slits in the fence, little pamphlets from Milton Friedman. We're going to pass a Spanish translation of Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt to the people coming over and pray to God that they're going to read it and vote for the right party. For these millions and millions of people pouring in hundreds of thousands every month, do you think that's going to work? And understand what's at stake. The whole fate of the nation is at stake. If it doesn't work, look what happens to America. It becomes Brazil. It looks like Mexico. It looks like sub-Saharan Africa. That is the risk if this insane plan fails to try to integrate all the world's poor, all the world's people seeking a job. That's what awaits us if it fails, and that's the likely outcome. So I don't think it's going to work. I believe demographics is destiny. And the Democrats say it, and the Republican strategists say it, some of the smart ones, and Ann Coulter's been saying it, and Michelle Malkin's been saying it, and Patrick Buchanan's been saying it. History tells us this. The numbers tell us this. And what's the argument otherwise? I don't see any argument. But this is what they're covering up. This is what they're so afraid of. This is what has been all about from the beginning. And why? Because of profit. Because of profit. Why do Republicans stand in the way of this? Because, you know, the illegal immigrant that killed Molly Tibbetts, that college-age girl in Iowa who was kidnapped and I think she was beheaded or something. Maybe I'm thinking of a different case. But, you know, you see this with Kate Steinle, Molly Tibbetts. The people that employed the illegal immigrant that killed Molly Tibbetts were Republicans. He was working in one of the largest dairy plants in the state of Iowa for people connected to the Koch brothers. Koch brothers, who are the biggest Republican donors in the country. So, of course, at the end of the day, it's about who is working in the fields. In agriculture, it's about who is manning, you know, the dairy plants. It's about who is serving the interests. It's about cheap labor. They're bringing these people in so they will be obedient. They will be the sort of working class that, you know, doesn't rise up, doesn't resist. They will come over here. They will work for cheap so the corporations can make lots of money. They're not going to organize. They're not going to have a large degree of political agency. They will simply go along to get along. They'll be good consumers. This is what they want. This is why this is happening. And those are the people donating to all the people that are fighting us on this. You know, they want to make it about, and not to bring it back, but this is what it is. They want to bring it back to, oh, Michelle Malkin supported me, right? They want to bring it back to, well, Nick said this last year. You know, this is what's happening to the country. People want to talk about, you know, 30-second clips about things that happened 1,000 years ago. But we're going to go on and move on to a different part of this. You know, as I said, I alluded to this. We're going to look at some of these recent elections in the South, if you don't believe me. So there were two gubernatorial elections in the South this month. I think there was actually one other, which I'm forgetting. But the two we're talking about tonight are Louisiana and Mississippi. So I'll read you a brief blurb about both. It's really not so important. But so this is about Louisiana. This is a little blurb about this election from New York Times. It says, Governor John Bel Edwards, the Democrat of Louisiana, has appealed to voters in his conservative state with his stances on abortion and guns, yet he is still a Democrat, making him vulnerable in a state where President Trump is popular. He faces a challenge from Eddie Rispone, a Baton Rouge businessman who emerged as the second-place finisher in last month's nonpartisan primary. Now, John Bel Edwards won. He became the governor of Louisiana by, I think it was like something like a 2% margin. And there were a lot of things happening in this race. You may know that Louisiana has, it's pretty cut and dry. You've got basically a large black population and a large white population. Now, in this case, the particulars matter a little bit in the sense that 8%. How is that possible? You might ask yourself. You know, and I brought this up before as a point of comparison. These are the margins that you see in dictatorships. These are the margins that you see for Joseph Stalin being elected by the, you know, communist, whatever, party meeting in the Soviet Union. These are the margins. I actually think Saddam Hussein won by less when he was the dictator of Iraq, right? So you look across the board at repressive totalitarian regimes. I think in Iran, Hassan Rouhani wins by less than this. I think the supreme leader of Iran, Khamenei, has a lower approval rating than 98%. These are the numbers. Blacks want 98%. And you got to ask yourself, you know, the Blexit program, the Black Leadership Summits, Candace Owens, is it working? Are you winning, son? And all this is to say, this is to illustrate how it's not malleable and how it's so one-sided. And blacks are a pretty exceptional case, but this is generally what we're talking about, the kind of people that are coming over. This is what we can expect. And what does it signify? The racialization of politics. I'll bring up another example. So this is the little blurb from Mississippi, from New York Times. It says, this is the gubernatorial race this last week, actually. It says the race for, or actually, I think this one was earlier in the month. It says the race for Mississippi governor pits an establishment Republican Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves against Attorney General Jim Hood, an anti-abortion, pro-gun Democrat. The current governor, Phil Bryant, a Republican, is leaving office because of term limits. So this was another very, very close result. And we don't have the exit polls for this race, but I do have exit polls from the Senate to kind of give you an idea of why we had the result in Louisiana that we did. In 2018, 83% of blacks voted for the Democratic Senate candidate. And 85% of Mississippi whites voted for the Republican Senate candidate. Now, think about that. 85% of whites went for Republicans. 83% of non-whites, of blacks, went for Democrats. Now, to me, what I see, I think it's pretty clear as day. This is the racialization of politics. This is fundamentally what we're talking about. Why are they voting in the manner that they are? Why are these voters not malleable? Why are they going in with the Democratic Party? You know, a lot of people say identity politics. Do you know what that is? It's the politics of racial grievance. The narrative from the Democrats is that we are going to construct a new voting bloc of people of color. What does that mean? It means not white. People of color have nothing in common. To say people of color is to unify people of totally disparate interests. I mean, in many cases, they're clashing with one another in neighborhoods or historically. It's Hispanics, it's Muslims, it's blacks, it's Asians, it's everybody under the sun that is not European. So it's a totally artificial conglomeration. But what are they all united under? They're all united under their grievance against white America, white racist cops, white racist president, white racist immigration policies, white racism in general, white racist prison system. That's what people of color means. You know, what is this parade at the DNC in 2016 of Kizra Khan and all these different people? They're peddling racial grievance. So when these people are voting for the Democrats, they're not voting for, well, I really like the Democratic policies. They're voting for the Democrats because they think the Democrats will protect their ethnic self-interest. There's no other explanation. Because blacks, do you think blacks, 98% of them all have the same political opinions? Of course not. Do you think that 98% of blacks all have the same exact opinion about this race or the same exact opinion about politics? Of course not. You know, some blacks are more conservative, some are more liberal. Obviously, a lot of them are liberal, but there is some diversity, but it's not 98%. It's probably not even 83%. But what they all agree on is, well, you know, blacks want to be protected. Blacks want to protect their interest. They think that voting for the Democrats will help their, you know, the black community. That's how they think. I think largely speaking, the reason you have malleability for whites is whites are thinking about, well, what is going to be best for? Because I think whites have an intergenerational mindset. They do not have a racial consciousness. I don't think they have any concept of voting so that white interests are protected. You know, there's no concept of the white vote, but there is for the black vote. Nobody ever asks, what will you do for whites? But they do ask, what will you do for blacks? So there's not even any concept of a racial identity or any kind of, you know, racial interest politics, generally speaking, for white people, but there is for other groups. And so what we see is this convergence of all the different racial categories towards a party that is going to protect their interests. And the question is, this is happening. Whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing is irrelevant. This is what's happening. This is how you get 98%. This is how you get Chinese, Indians, 75% each for Democrats. This is how you get Hispanics never going more than 35% in a presidential election of the century. That's how you get that. You know, George W. Bush, who pandered like hell to the Hispanics as an evangelical, as open borders, pro-amnesty, won 35%. That's the high watermark. So this convergence, this racialization of politics, whether you like it or not, whether you think you're cynical or skeptical, it's happening. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? I'm over here just asking a very simple question. I see these trends. They're very troubling. They're troubling for me as a Republican. They're troubling, you know, if you want to see the United States of America stay together. But I get called all these names for simply asking the question that everybody seems to acknowledge all the same basic facts. And as I said it, and I'm going to bring this back to Proposition 187, why I said that's critical, is you got to keep in mind that the American people have never been in favor of mass immigration. Never. You cannot show me a single poll. You can't show me any ballot measure, you know, any kind of referendum or anything like that, any proposition where Americans have voted against, for example, English-only schooling or English as the official language or against more illegal immigration or services for illegal immigrants. You can't show me a survey. You can't show me an election or anything like that where the mandate from the people has been more immigration. Almost every poll universally for like 50 years has said, at the bare minimum, we think, you know, the current level is enough, but nobody has ever said more or the same. Most people say less than what we have, and we get it anyway. That's why Proposition 187 in California, it really is so symptomatic of the country, because voters in the 1990s said, pump the brakes. It's wrong. Why are illegals getting services? It's like citizenship doesn't even mean anything anymore. Because just short of voting, you get all the other benefits. You get to stay here, you get the public services, you get the transportation, you get an ID card. You should see, read Sam Huntington's Who Are We? It goes into extreme detail in the early 2000s about how egregious the situation is. But so they vote in 187 to say, we don't want any more illegal immigrants. We don't want them to get services. Enough with this open borders madness. And a judge threw out the mandate of the people and said, you'll get it anyway. And that is why California is the future. That's exactly what happened to this country. In 2016, we did the same thing. In 2016, the mandate came down from the people. We want less immigration. We want to build the wall. We want to keep the distinct character of the historic American nation. We want to make America great again. That's what that meant. We want to preserve the character of the historic American nation. We want to build the wall and distinguish us from Mexico and the rest of the world. That was the mandate in 2016. And who's throwing it out? The Supreme Court, the federal judges, the media, the think tanks, Conservative Inc., Mitch McConnell, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, all the people that conspired against Trump's America First immigration agenda. And we will become like California. We will become like LA. If you think of what happened to your state, just take a look at the nearest metropolitan area. It's happening everywhere. Demographics is destiny. That's the facts. That's the history. And that's what they're trying to cover up. That's why they want to shut people like me up. They want to shut me down because it's indefensible what's happening. There is no justification for what's happening. There is no rational argument on the other side. That's why they don't want to have it. That's why they have to shut it down, discredit it, lump it in with all these other, you know, freaks and weirdos and put you on the blacklist. Normally, the show's kind of funny. Normally, the show, you know, it's so funny. They're posting all these jokes I make, these off-color jokes. It's like, okay, you don't like my humor. You don't like my, you know, off-color. You don't like my ironic humor. That's going to get me in trouble. Okay, how about just a straight fact then? How about I just, you know, drop a nuclear bomb on you? But it's what it is, folks. It's what it is. Demographics is destiny, and nobody can tell me otherwise. And if they do, they think you're stupid. They're playing you for a fool, for their own profit. And that's exactly what's happening. Numbers, unlike Charlie Kirk, do not lie. And we've got them all in front of us. So, you know, and that's Mississippi and Louisiana. You know, that's not, we all know what's happening in California, but that's Mississippi and Louisiana. And that's Georgia and Virginia. That's North Carolina. You know, what happened 2 or 3 weeks ago? Virginia in one of their elections went totally blue. And some of it was, you know, some suburban voters flipping and, you know, the expansion of the D.C. metro area. But, you know, another big part of it was the mass immigration. These states will be lost to us forever. And what's the answer for that? You know, we won Michigan by a thread in 2016. We barely won Wisconsin, barely won Pennsylvania. We lost all those states, by the way, in 2018. We got killed in Wisconsin, killed in Michigan. We didn't even win in Ohio. We got killed in Pennsylvania. What is the future? What does the future look like? And I come to these people as a representative of young Zoomers, as a representative of my generation, saying, I see a future of debt slavery, disease, filth, crime, gangs, unaccountability, racialized politics. And I'm saying, what's the solution? And, you know, for all that, oh, well, I outsmarted you. I'm going to show this clip from when you were in high school and you said you didn't like Trump. Okay, you know, we're all going to lose anyway. We're all going to lose anyway, except for the people that live in gated communities that can protect themselves from their own policies, right? But we're going to jump into the super chats. We'll see what you guys have to say about all this. I could go off all night about it, but I think we've covered all our bases here. Demographic change is here. It's happening. It's got nothing to do with legal status, I can tell you. And it's got major consequences for our lives, and not all of those consequences are good. In fact, I think you'd struggle to find several consequences of this dramatic change, civilizational change, that you would say are overall positive for the people in the country, in the middle class. But we're going to move on. We'll take a look at our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all of this. I'm sure everybody is you know, very excited. And I'm going to try and take all the super chats tonight. You know, yesterday I only read 10 and above. And we ended pretty early, actually. We ended only 2 hours in. So you know what? I'm going to give it a crack. We'll try and read them all tonight. We've got White Belt, who says, I've never heard of Nick Pontes before. Who's that? Yeah, Jesse Lee Peterson calling me Nick Pontes today on the show. Yeah, that's okay. That's great. Whatever. Andrew Torba says, Christ is king. Yes, he is. And thanks for the support, man. Really appreciate it. Bandit says, I just saw your reaction to me and another Super Chatter's whiteboard comments. Excuse me, in Benny Johnson's thread. I couldn't stop laughing, and I felt like I made it into the America First Best Of compilation. God bless, King. Well, thanks. Hey, thanks for your tweets, man. I really do appreciate all the Groiper, you know, cavalry in the tweets and the mentions. Because one of our only sources of strength is that we just have so many people. We have so much organic support. And that means something, you know, because we don't have the money that Turning Point does or the institutional backing. Or the infrastructure, but what we can do is ratio these people on Twitter, and that means something, because Twitter, in a way, is like you get a disproportionate say in the conversation. A very small percentage of the population is on Twitter. A very small percentage of the population is engaged in political Twitter, and so to get an army of Groypers to swarm a Benny Johnson or one of these guys when they're dishonest or whatever, I mean, that is such a source of our strength. That is such a source of our, I mean, it's one of our greatest assets, and I mean that completely unironically. You might think it doesn't have an impact, but it definitely does, because it gets people to notice, and it's sort of an indication of the temperature of where things are at. So we appreciate the Groyper Army. Backing us up, glad you consider yourself part of the best of. You are. Facetious says, how much to get a collab with Mr. Bond? I don't know who Mr. Bond is, but if he shoots me an email, we could collaborate, I guess, if he's got enough clout. Forest Shade says, I played Hearts of Iron 4 as Obama and spent most of my time selling arms to Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Oh, so it's very true to form, very historically accurate portrayal. I lost the election to nationalists in 2016, and now Ann Coulter is president. You should stream this game. Maybe play as Netanyahu. I don't know, these Paradox games are a little too autistic for me. I prefer, you know, simple grug brain games. My life is complicated enough. I've got enough going on in my life. And people are telling me, you know, you should play the super autistic game where it takes like 1,000 hours to learn. And I play these Paradox games, and it's so stressful. It feels like my life. It feels like the rest of my life, which is constant crisis alerts and having to manage all these different things and, you know, make complex decisions and long-term planning. And it's like, I'm playing this game to escape the tedium of my life. And it's just more of this. Like, I play Red Dead Redemption. I think I played that game like 3 times. And it's like, oh, you know, you have your horse and you have a saddle. And if you lose your saddle, like, game over. And you have to feed your horse. You have to feed yourself and get a haircut and get dressed. And it's like, I'm barely eating and sleeping in life, in the real world. And now I'm getting a haircut in the game. I need a haircut in real life. Feeding the horse, I haven't eaten anything since yesterday in real life, you know? So I'm playing these games and I'm like, did they forget why? Did they forget it's a game? Did they forget what the point is? You know, it's like, how did it start out? Start out with Pong, you know? Okay, here's a fun diversion. Pac-Man, oh, okay, the guys are chasing you, you gotta get away. And then it's like, oh, it's just like Life Simulator. You know, all the minutia. Remember, games are not real life. Making them more realistic doesn't make them better. It makes them worse. So Hearts of Iron 4, probably not going to play it. Those games, to me, they just stress me out. They trigger my autism. And not in the way that makes me good at them, you know? Joshua says, Stefan, be bald and blue-pilled. Yeah, very disappointing from Stefan today, who unfollowed me on Twitter. That's okay. I'll remember. That's okay. If anybody thinks that there's any concern that I'm not going to hold a grudge, right? Maybe not a grudge, but that I'm not going to remember every minor slight, every minor, you know, dig, every minor backhanded comment, believe me, you know, there's no reason to be concerned about that. I'll remember all of it. I'm Italian. That's what we do. That's what we're good at. Glenn says, turn Shapiro on today while I was driving because I was bored. And you're so right. What has he produced that isn't hot air and advertisements? Half of it is ads, and then he says his own ads, and then hot air. Well, yeah, and then, you know, this is something I noticed with a lot of these shows is the advertisements. What I love about my show, I love my show. It's the only show I can watch, honestly. All these other shows, it's just so repetitive, it's so controlled, and it was so boring. But it's true, all these other shows, they do this YouTube dialect, you know what I mean? The YouTube cadence. And it's advertisements, and they have to watch what they say, and it's repetitive talking points. And I feel like, generally speaking, my show every night's pretty fresh, pretty high energy, pretty exciting. And you know what else it is? It's 2 hours or 3 hours some nights of uninterrupted, fast-paced content. I'm not going to take a bathroom break like Gorka. I'm not like Shapiro reading 5 advertisements an hour. You know, it's just straight from the gut, you know, 2 hours of content. So yeah. Yeah, you're right. My show's epic. His show's cringe. My show's based epic and red-pilled. His show is cringe and Jewish and blue-pilled. And my show is blessed by the Lord. At least we hope it is, right? So let's see. Don't want to put words in his mouth. You know, he might disavow some of the cursing or, you know, vulgar language. But generally speaking, we're working for him, right? So, yeah, it's true. Shapiro is total. These people are not good at what they do. They're hacks, mediocrities. Nick says, what's your opinion of anti-establishment patriots like Senator Huey Long or Charles Lindbergh? What can we learn from them? Well, I would say, you know, I'm not an expert on the biography of Lindbergh or Huey Long, but I would say the ultimate lesson to learn from Huey Long and really any left-wing politician is that what matters is power. And I don't mean to say that in a way that is like edgy or so-called cynical or anything like that, but it is to say that I think what Huey Long understands is that what you have to do is take care of your own people, right? Huey Long was so popular in Louisiana. Why he had such a strong base of support is because the people who were voting for him, he was taking care of them. He cared about them. When he got in office, he was fulfilling his promises. He was doing right by his voters, which seems like a lost concept, right? That we vote for people and they campaign based on these sort of lofty conceptual ideas like, vote for me because I'm a real conservative. Okay, like, what does that mean? You know, why I was such a fan of the Yang meme at the time was because here was a guy saying, vote for me, and here's something tangible that I will improve your life with, you know? Which is so foreign. We're so used to voting for people and they just screw us, you know? They just totally bitch slap us once they get in office and say, you thought, yeah, I said I was going to help you, but now I'm not, you know? Now I'm not going to help you. Oh, you got us, you know? But what was different about Yang is he said, here's something I'm going to do that's tangible and meaningful in your life. It might be small in the grand scheme of things, but $1,000 a month will help you. It will make your life better. And so why I supported him, and I said this all throughout for a time, was, let's hear Donald Trump give us a pitch. Let's hear Donald Trump say how he's going to make my life better. Can you beat $1,000 a month? Can you beat going against tech censorship? Can you beat human-based capitalism? Because the tax cuts really didn't help me that much, and the embassy move didn't really help me, and the climate accords we didn't even pull out of. You know what I'm saying? So Huey Long understood that you take care of your voters, and your voters take care of you. He also understood that, you know, you have to build up a base of power. You know, so there's a lot to be learned from them, but it's fundamentally the nature of how politics works, which we have lost. We've sort of lost that art, but I think if we really mastered it, I think we could give these people a run for their money. DL says, hey, Nick, did you see JLP disavow you? Almost like you forgot he had you on his show last week. Very weird. I did see that. I watched it on my D live stream today. And yeah, I don't know if I want to get mad about it because it just came across as weird. He didn't even disavow me, but last week he said, I support what you do and you have a right to ask questions. And then today he said, oh, we should leave Charlie Kirk alone. So I don't know what that's all about. It's kind of disappointing, but it's frankly just too weird to attribute a motive or anything. I have no idea what that's about. Daniel says, just got a wagey job for the winter. Have a Big Mac on me, King. A hem extra ecclesium nulla salus. What does this Latin mean? Well, congratulations on the wagey job. Thanks for the Big Mac. I'm going to need a Big Mac. I'm a hungry fella. It says, outside the church, there is no salvation. You know, factual? Yeah, all these Catholic haters would be, they would be better off to remember that there is no salvation outside the church. Look, you know, you could be a Protestant. That's okay, but just got to remember. You want to take that chance? Andrew says, drag queens are to women what blackface is to African Americans. Stop the new minstrel show. Hashtag Groiper. I've never been a big fan of this kind of, you know, really clever rhetoric. Oh, well, you don't like blackface? Well, drag queen doesn't really work because, number one, it presupposes that blackface is like the worst thing in the world, which it isn't. And it also says that the problem with drag queens is like that it's like something else. There's something wrong with drag queens in itself, which is not that they're fake women, you know, or they're making fun of women. You know, this line implies that, you know, blackface is a minstrel show. A minstrel show is meant to mock African Americans in the same way that, you know, a drag queen is mocking women. Well, that's not really why it's wrong. It triggers your disgust factor because it's a perversion, because it's obviously unnatural. It's obviously meant to offend. It's obviously meant to be transgressive against the natural order. And that intuitively triggers the disgust factor in us. And so on those grounds, we should oppose it, that it's like, this is deviancy, this is perversion manifest. It is the most extreme form of this, and it's being paraded around in advertisements, television shows. And what's the end game? Why is that happening? It's not in the privacy of the bedrooms, it's being paraded around, and you got to ask yourself why that is. So I reject these like really clever, like, oh, well, you're against blackface. Well, you know, we did this verbal trick where, you know, drag queen is a new minstrel show. Like, yeah, it's kind of these like cheap, like, oh, I got you. It's kind of these never are as smart as people think they are. I'm so clever. This is going to devastate the Democrats. Drag queen, more like blackface for women. We could do a lot better than that. Give me a break. Trent says, very disappointed in Molyneux. I've been subscribed to him for 10 years, and he lost me and a lot of supporters today. Groypers have your back. We appreciate everything you do, big guy. Well, thanks so much. You know, and it is, that's the word, it's disappointing. You know, this guy woke me up on a lot of issues. He was very influential to me, very inspirational. I've been watching him since I was in high school, and I was a big fan, and he introduced me in a lot of ways to new audiences. He had me on a show before I was anybody, and I really appreciated that. And so you know, it would have been one thing if he texted me today or called me up, and we don't talk at all. Or, you know, we haven't talked since I think he had me on a show, and recently, actually. But if he had DM'd me and said, you know, look, this thing is going on, like, I'm sorry, but I just got it, whatever. I wouldn't love that. I would still be disappointed, but I'd get it. But he puts out this tweet and he says, oh, I disavow Holocaust deniers and people that make light of the Holocaust. And he unfollowed me. And, you know, it's just such a cowardly thing to do. It's just an obvious genuflection of the outrage mob. And it's like, look, if your brand is... And again, the problem is the brand for these people. You know, fortunately, I have come up with a brand that is optics. You know, my brand is not... I will do anything, say anything, anything, anything. I will go wherever, you know. My brand is I want to make political change. And so sometimes we have to be tactical about things, right? But when your brand, you know, just like Charlie Kirk, I'll debate anyone, anywhere, anytime about anything. Well, there's not really a lot of wiggle room to say, except for those people. And with Molyneux, you can't make your brand this above it all. Oh, I'm, you know, mega mind philosopher, and I will go where the truth leads me, and nothing will dissuade me. And then do this kind of shit. You can't, you know, doesn't work. And people see through it. I don't want to hurt the guy. I don't want people to say, oh, I'm unsubscribing because of him. It's your prerogative. But just to me, it was deeply disappointing. It's just a shame, you know, that he would not be on our side in the fight. But that's okay. I'll remember. Let's see. And everybody else will too. Alcibiades says it costs them nothing to slander. Don't stop having fun, Nick. Well, yeah, you're right about that. There is something fatalistic about it. I'll never stop having fun. I love what I do. I have fun. I laugh. You know, I'm a joyful warrior. You can tell they can't bring me down. It gets tough sometimes. It gets frustrating. The dishonesty is just deeply, you know, talk about offensive. The dishonesty is deeply, you know, I've really sort of looked into the abyss the past 3 weeks, and I know that sounds dramatic, but I've heard things that are going on. I've seen the dishonesty, and I was talking to Classical Theist the other day. I said, this has actually strengthened my faith in God, because, you know, what the Bible says is like the Satan, what he does is he lies, he betrays, and he corrupts children. You know, that's what the Bible says. I don't know if that's like a perfect, like, theological summary of it, but that's the gist that I get from the Bible is, you know, what defines Satan? What are the big crimes? Well, you know, he sponsors betrayal, deceit, and he corrupts children. You know, these are the things in my mind that Christ has the biggest problem with. And that's what I see is corruption of children in the worst ways and in more political ways. I see just shameless, malicious lying, horrible lying, and I see betrayal. Friends, betrayal of principle, betrayal of country. And, you know, he said to me, he says, you know, it's funny you say that strengthened your faith in God. For a lot of people, it would turn them away because you see the depravity and, you know, that would make you think, well, what kind of God would allow this? But for me, it was almost a vindication. It says, I get it. I get, you know, that what is good and what is evil you see. It's sort of instinctual. It's in your gut. You know, this is wrong. You have a deep sense of right and wrong and you see this and it's horrible. So, anyway, so point being, I've really looked into the abyss. I've seen all this terrible stuff, but at the end of the day, yeah, I have resigned myself to the fact that we're in this, and we don't fear them, and we don't fear what happens to us. I don't fear what happens to my super chats or my YouTube channel or my Twitter or my career or who's going to unfollow me on Twitter. What do we have to fear? Number one, it's the future. Well, I guess number one, it's God, but it's the future of our country, too, so... You know, I'm gonna keep laughing it up. I'm gonna keep naming and gaming. That's what I do. I name and I game. I name them. Nobody else will name them. But I'm naming and gaming. I'm eating the Big Mac. I'm rocking out. I'm rapping. I'm dancing. I'm singing along, you know? I'm going Joker mode. So yeah, no worries there. Joshua says, sad to hear about Joe Rogan. I know he didn't see eye to eye due to height differences, but he didn't deserve it. I can't keep pretending I know what this means. Is this another, like, Sticks death meme? I can never tell if something actually happens to these people or if it's just a joke. Cheryl Main says, do you support ethno-whopperism, the right of the mushroom Swiss people to have their own nation to secure the existence of their burgers? Or would you support a one- or two-patty solution? Yeah, is this another one that's going to get me in trouble? I'm going to respond to the Whopper nationalism question, and Benny Johnson's going to say, look at this horrible white nationalist. I can't even, right? We can't even say. I will say that I've been opposed to Whopperism from the beginning. Whopperism is cringe and blue-pilled. I'm a supporter of the Big Mac. I'm a Big Mac nationalist. Big Mac first is what I'm about. Always have been. Four says, you will always have thousands of IRL Zoomers who support you and the America First message, despite the attacks from dishonest and low-IQ individuals who really just don't get it. Well, thanks, and I appreciate all the support. People really are the best about that. So thanks for that. Yeah, we do have some loyalty here, but, you know, it's going to be tested. Things will be tested in the coming months and years. It's a period of trial for all of us. So I hope everyone will be steadfast, myself included, to the cause. Mike says, went to a Q&A with former presidential candidate Martin O'Malley at my school. Didn't full groip, but asked about demographic change in Texas. He smiled, but dodged the question. Yeah, that's not surprising, and particularly from a Democrat. He's smiling because he knows it's true. You know, he's laughing. They're all laughing at us, right? But hey, you know, A for effort, right? Good job. That the question is asked is important, even if it doesn't get an answer. Red-pilled Zoomer says, free pooper chat. Thanks. Bandit says, to any new Knickers in the audience, I want to give a shout-out and a recommendation to watch Steve Franson's channel. Great analysis. Yeah, I agree. Definitely check him out. He's got some great content. And what I love about Steve is that he's really a great contrast to me in the sense that he's a very high-energy guy and he's very smart and all that, but he's just got a very, like, he's got a very laid-back, low-key, sort of a mature, like a seasoned sort of analyst. And so, you know, my show can be a little schizophrenic and all over the place sometimes. But when I watch his streams, I'll put him on when I'm driving. I'll put him on when I'm gaming. He's just got a very calming, he's just got a very good vibe, like a very good energy about him. He's funny, you know, so I highly recommend. And, you know, I feuded with everybody, okay? I feuded with everybody at one point or another. I don't know if it's a male thing. I don't know if it's a me thing. But we feuded in the past, and I actually had the chance to meet him recently at the Miami event. He's just a solid guy, just a really solid guy. He's been a real friend in the recent controversies and a real guy, you know, water under the bridge, some of the past things. So definitely check him out. It's important that we sort of shore up some of these other people. You know, Steve Franson, who's trying to grow his channel. He's trying to do these other forms of content. Jake Lloyd just started a new show called American Dissident. Check that out. I hear Patrick Casey's doing some new content. He's got a podcast and he's working on some other things. I think those are all the new like video projects I'm aware of. But, you know, so definitely check those guys out. It's important to support, you know, some of the other guys in the extended universe, you know, the America First universe, because we want, you know, paladins. We want strong people that can fight back. We need to create our own network, right? So I want to share the love a little bit this week with them because they're all highly talented, highly respected individuals. Troy says, I can't believe all the political hacks that have smeared you so badly recently, and that I used to watch them. I only started watching a week ago, and I am amazed that people like Stefan are lying about you. Wish I found you sooner. Thank you for your sacrifices. Well, thanks for the big super chat. That means a lot to me. You know, people that have come over in the last week, it's really is means a lot. I think it shows that we have the right message. They can say what they want. You know, they can smear all they want, but people that are interested in the truth are going to watch my show, and they're going to realize I'm actually a smart person with a lot to say. They're going to realize that I'm actually a pretty reasonable person. So, yeah, they can't stop that. On some level, they can gin up the mob to say, oh, we believe all these smears. But, you know, there will be a proportion of high IQ, you know, actually intellectually honest people who will say, oh, well, let's see what this is all about. And they'll watch the show and they'll find that, yeah, I mean, it is reasonable, it is entertaining, and it is just, we're free thinking over here. That's what it is. We're free thinking. There's nothing else like this. There is, and trust me, I've been on some shows. There's nothing else like this where you're just freewheeling, free thinking, say what you want. Maybe it'll get me in trouble, maybe not, but so I appreciate that. Thanks a lot. Nathaniel says, Caden Watkins is a racist. Okay, I don't know who that is. I don't want to say the other part there. It might be slander. Kubelay says, what's your take on the destruction of culture through materialism, i.e. what Spengler also argues? Keep up the good work, King. Well, thanks. I think it's all true. I think it's totally true. You know, we have a materialist society now, and materialist doesn't mean consumerist. A lot of people think materialism means you like material things. And I guess that's kind of That's kind of, I mean, that's one definition, I guess. You know, if you say somebody's a materialist, you know, the connotation is, oh, like they like material things. They like stuff. They like, you know, money or something like that. But a materialist in a philosophical sense means that they only believe in atoms. It means that their view of the world or the universe is that there is nothing supernatural. There's nothing spiritual. There is only material. There is only this sort of, you know, what would you call it, atomic material or this molecular material. There's only stardust, and we're all comprised of it, and that's it. We are all just different arrangements of material. That's what a materialist, philosophical materialist worldview is. And I think that, yeah, you can't have art. You can't have a society if you believe in materialism, because the natural consequence of materialism is nihilism. If we're all just atoms, well, then nothing has intrinsic value, and nothing has integrity, and nothing is objective. Everything is contingent. Everything is subjective. Everything is the result of chaotic and random forces arranging things in meaningless ways. So no, how could you have art which speaks to something higher and speaks to a higher truth or higher beauty if there is no truth and there is no beauty and there, you know, there is nothing. There is only dust. Yeah, that's exactly right. Groiper War says, the Stefan Molyneux disavowal is a kick in the stomach, especially as he markets himself as a free speech warrior. Yeah, you know, buy my free speech book. I disavow making light of the Holocaust. Yeah, okay, big guy. However, it's ultimately unsurprising as his mother is. I think we both know. Well, I don't want to bring that into it. I don't want to be presumptuous and say that's why. Who knows why that is? Maybe he's got a really good explanation for it, but it certainly was a kick in the stomach. You know, people you think you can trust, people you think... And I assumed he was one of the guys that would be with us. I'm writing lists. I'm thinking, who can we count on? Who's against us? Who's in the middle? And I had him on the pro list. People like Mike Cernovich are defending me more than Stefan Molyneux. I had it wrong. I've been saying some somewhat nasty things about Cernovich. And yeah, he's kind of in the middle. He's trying to protect himself, but defend me a little bit. But you know what? He's going out on a limb. And I appreciate that. And Molyneux, who I was defending, who I would have nothing but nice things to say, you know, unfollowed and did the performative condemnation. So people will surprise you. That's just what I'll say. People surprise you. I was surprised. You know, so that's what it is. Jake's has failed. No Nut November today. When 19 days. I feel horrible. What should I do? Well, I would repent. I would go to confession, right? It's tough, you know? I mean, here's the thing. The problem, the reason why pornography is so pernicious is because it's addictive. You know, I don't want to get too graphic, but pornography is designed to hook your brain. You know, you think Facebook is addictive. Okay, pornography is like Facebook, but it's sex. And we all know, you know, the draw that sex has on people. And so the dopamine situation in your brain that's it's like a chemical addiction. And I'm not going to say it's like on par with heroin, obviously, but I think there are studies that show that it's certainly comparable. The kind of dopamine hit, the kind of chemical reaction in your brain that you get on porn, that you get on drugs. I don't think you get the same like physical withdrawals, but I think mentally it's somewhat similar. So yeah, that's why it's so evil. So don't be discouraged. You know, addiction is kind of one of the defining problems of our time. Addiction to alcohol, drugs, social media, you know, these, what'd you call them? Painkillers, I guess. That's what it is. So I would say don't be discouraged. You can't overcome. Just got to pray. Got to pray for some strength there. Go to confession, repent, and, you know, try harder. But I don't want a flood of super chats talking about, you know, we're jerking off. It's like, well, I don't know if people want to hear about that so much, but, you know, it's an important thing to discuss. It's sort of a meme, but it's also very important. Jared says, from the concrete grew a toad. Yeah, just like they say in Use This Gospel. From the concrete grew a rose. What is it? You know, it's Watch Me Faith Talk, he says. Very epic song. So true. Viking says, how did you master the skill of forgetting about thoughts and e-girls? I must admit that sinful lust still inhabits my Zoomer coon brain daily. It's tough. I know. It's some people believe I have this superhuman ability. But really, it's quite simple. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I just have autism. Perhaps it's some, you know, social issue with me. Perhaps. But no, I would say, I don't know. What is my secret? Maybe it's just a temperamental thing. I've always just been much more interested in this, you know, then... And that's not to say that I'm like, oh, every day poring over books or anything, but I don't know. I've just never been a very social person. I've never been a very... That's not really somebody who is an interpersonal person. I'm a very intrapersonal. I'm very much inside my head. So I think it's really more of a temperamental thing with me. I can understand. Some people are like that. Some people are born simps. And some people are born not, you know, like me. Some people are born a king. And we are born never e-girls with inhuman strength. And some people are born simps. And, you know, I see it. There's something that is definitely temperamental baked into the cake. But you just gotta, you know, get a hold of yourself, you know? You gotta think, am I simping? How do I look? How does this look? Am I simping? Am I gonna get Nick to attack me? You gotta just be thinking. Because I see it all the time, and it's tempting sometimes, but you just gotta, you know, just refrain. You gotta grab your wrist before you send that tweet and say, what am I doing? Is she gonna love me? Is she gonna fall in love with me because I tweeted at her? Is she gonna read my tweet and go on a date with me? Or is this my, you know... Or is this my coon brain taking control? You have to arrest yourself, you know? So, as I see it all the time, and I'm thinking, like, what is the thought process? These people, you know, and I see a lot of it from friends. I'm not going to name any names, but I see it a lot from friends. And it's just so pathetic. It's like, what is the outcome? What do you want to have in here?
Hey, e-girl, hi. Hello, I'm trying to be funny. I want you to like me.
What do you think is going to happen? You think she's going to go on a date with you? She's going to DM you and say, hey, King, I really love your replies. You always are so witty in my tweets. I just find you so charming and you're so nice to me. You're not like those jerks that I bang all the time. Do you want to go out for a milkshake or something? I'll wear a sundress. I mean, what do you think the outcome is going to be? Think of who you're talking to. Women are like, and I know, hello, Betty Johnson. I don't mean this in a sexist or misogynist way, but they're like animals. They're like lizards. And I mean that not in the sense that they're like low or depraved or anything. I mean that in the sense that their brains are very much in tune to these like tribal things, like are men projecting strength or weakness? They're very much in tune to these kinds of, you know, evolutionary ideas of suitable mates and They're not thinking like we are. They look sweet, they look cute and everything, but deep down, it's these... Think about it this way. This is the last thing I'll say. Women would rather date serial killers than people that are too nice to them. Think about it that way. What does that tell you, okay? They are writing letters to Ted Bundy. They would show up to Ted Bundy's trial and say, he didn't commit those murders, or if he did, he would never do that to me. He's just misunderstood. They send letters to Nicholas Cruz, the Parkland shooter. They write fan fiction about him. But if some below average looking guy is too nice to them, they are repulsed by it. What does that tell you? You know, I had a very good friend of mine, QAnon. He told me when I really got red pilled on the girl question, he said I was reading through a lot of this pickup artist stuff and the pickup culture. He said, at a certain point it dawned on me, if the same sort of bag of tricks works on girls time and time again, you know, maybe that kind of gives you some insight into what's going on there, right? So that's the way I look at it. You know, when you think about it that way, you think about some of the other statistics about things. Can't say it tonight because, you know, Benny Johnson, Turning Point USA apparatchik is watching the stream for me to slip up, but it's like, you know, they're showing up to Ted, they're writing fan fiction about mass murderers and serial killers. But if you're like nervous around them, right? If you go up to them and say like, hey, you know, repulsed. I'm not like saying that's me or anything. I don't care about e-girls. You know this. I say never e-girls and all this. But I'm just telling you, it's something to think about, you know, when you're trying to refrain or you're thinking about the nature of them. It's something to keep in mind. Jake says, Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me, aren't you? Okay, boomer. Fearless Scout says, Conservative Inc. ignores our problems in favor of their donors. Thank you for turning down the trip and an easy life at Conservative Inc. to be attacked endlessly to stick up for people like us. You're a good man. God bless you. Well, thanks so much. Means a lot because that's, you know, what I did. I did turn down an easy life and the trip and the money and the fame. And it hasn't been easy, but it has been worth it. So thank you. God bless you. Trad Authoritarian says, Big Mac for the Supreme Groiper. When do we disavow Trump, Kushner, and the White House? They are ever closer to ending the nuclear family. I'm not going to disavow Trump because, you know, what's the alternative? So a lot of people say, oh, like, we should disavow Trump, but we elect a Democrat and they're going to make our lives worse significantly directly. You know, they're talking about taking away our guns, particularly us, arresting us, you know, investigating us. So it's like that scenario will be bad for us very immediately and directly. So I will vote for Trump for that reason alone. Boopers says, Wignats be like, I will do anything to save our people. Groypers tell them, how about we go back to Christ? Wignats respond, no, we can't do that, though. Really makes you think. Yeah, but they're not really relevant, not really worth bringing them up. The fight is with Conservative Inc. Bob says, Nick officially has a Wikipedia page. Check it. Yeah, and no, I saw. They took it away, now they brought it back. I wish they'd just bury it. I don't need a Wikipedia page. Samurai Spirit says, I'm so disgusted at these cowards distancing themselves from you or pretending to not remember who you are. Nick who? A better man than you, bid. That's who. I'm with you till the end, King. Well, thanks. Yeah. Well, it's very flattering. It's what it says in the intro. Nick Fuentes, who is that? You know, that's what it is. I don't want to, look, is it blasphemous to make the comparison? But, you know, what happens? They deny even knowing you. I think about that a lot. There's a lot of, like, biblical, you know, passages where they talk about, you know, I will not know your name. I will not remember your name. I will not recognize your name. You know, there's a lot of that happens in the Bible. And I'm not comparing myself. That would be blasphemous. But that sort of theme of betrayal, of, you know, distance, when it counts, something to think about. Zappy says, thoughts on the Spanish Inquisition based in Red Pill? I'm not really well read enough about it. But I would say generally kind of based. People forget the Inquisition was in response to Muslim conquest. There's some other things going on as well, but you know, they always talk about the Inquisition. Well, what directly preceded that? It was, you know, Muslim domination of the continent. Raul says, Jezebel don't even stand a chance. So true. Pineapple says, JF is critical of everything, including you. Ignoring someone because they criticize you is the same thing you're fighting against. Love you both. Okay, well, that's just a stupid super chat. Yeah, I'm getting attacked by everybody, you know, on planet Earth this week. And JF, you know, who in the past has said nice things about me and likes me and all that, is going to, and it's not criticism, it's just outright calling me a cuck, lying about me, saying I'm a shill for Zionists. Yeah, is that true? So I'm tired of all these apologists for people just, you know, lying about what it is. Oh, well, it's just a friendly disagreement, and I like you both. Well, that's not really what it is. It's, I'm getting, you know, the curb stomped by every single, and I'm winning, you know, but there's this gang attack. I got guys on me. I got 10 different squads on me in Tilted Towers from Conservative Inc. And people that should be backing me up are sniping at me from the sidelines. So no, that's bullshit. It's wrong. He knows it. You know it. Jared Kushner says, have you been following the campaign to kick Stephen Miller out of the White House? What are your thoughts on Miller in general? Not really, but I know he like had this private correspondence where he cited V. Dare, and now the left is trying to kick him out. Miller is good on the issues, but I've heard it's true that he's been opposing a lot of anti-immigrant people getting into the administration, people like Kobach and others, because he wants all the credit. He wants to be the mastermind. I've heard that from multiple people now, so I have a feeling that it might be good if he got kicked out at this point. Not because of the V. Dare stuff, but I've heard that he's really not a team player, and he's stalling a lot of the progress that could be made by sabotaging different immigration restrictionists from getting in the administration. Jake says the sixth sheep's six. Okay, so we've got a tongue twister. Magazox is all the attention you get from Michelle Malkin makes me feel a bit jealous. Yeah, she's been very, very nice to me. She's the best. Subway Hobo says Dave Smith is the most consistent Christian conservative, and Michael Malice is the best troll. Yeah, Dave Smith has been great. Michael Malice, he's kind of been giving me the cold shoulder, but, you know, I like his content. And Dave Smith is great. I think he's got real integrity. I really can't say anything negative about that guy. I came on a show that one time, and I was expecting him to be sort of a cringe libertarian, but you know what? He was very intelligent, one of the most well-read people I've talked to. And I've talked to a lot of dummies in this sphere that are high profile and they've got a big following. But this guy, one of the most well-read people I've talked to, very intelligent, very quick, and a great sort of vibe about him, a great attitude, great energy, really talks the talk and walks the walk when it comes to free speech and comedy. I was surprised, and pleasantly so. So I thought he was great. Michael Malice, I haven't had a lot of interaction with him, but I like his content. Michael says, thank you for representing our people. Keep up the good work. Never apologize. Thanks, I won't. Tybor says, welcome everybody. I'm Tony Macaroni. I'm straight and Catholic, and this is the Straight Catholic Show. Today we have an Italian who's going to talk about how the only thing we can disagree on is the shape of our pasta. Oh, this is anti-Italian. This is anti-Italian. He's using anti-Italian slurs. Yeah, this is a parody from Benny Johnson. Benny Johnson clips part of my show where I said, hi, I'm Dave Rubin. This is the Gay Jewish Show. Today we've got a Jew who's going to talk about economics. And he says, oh, this is vitriolic, vile, disturbing racism. And I said, well, what if I said, hi, I'm, hi, I'm Dino, you know, hi, I'm Mambo Italiano. This is the Italian Show. Tonight we've got an Italian. Oh, and we're going to talk about pasta. It's like, you know, so if you caught that on DLive, you get this reference. If not, I'm butchering the explanation of it, but you get the double standard here. You can only make fun of white people, nobody else. But in one particular group, Big John says, hilarious counteroffensive yesterday, but as Andrew Klavan found out, you're probably not allowed to hurt people's feelings on the internet without paying millions to the globalist mafia. Be careful, King. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I'm trying to be careful. Neighborhood Nationalist says, question, what is it called when Batman skips church? A Christian Bale. Oh, that's great. That's very funny. Flush says, Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over their present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So true. Yeah, and believe it. I'm feeling that. We are fighting the devil. We are fighting people on higher dimensions. Never forget this. Nate Dogg says, you and Alex Jones talking about Gorka, LMAO. Perfect. Yeah, Jones is great. He's hilarious. Maxie Stoneman says, at many places you can get something that I consider to be hot stuff. It has caramelized onions. It's roasted mushrooms. He says sauteed mushrooms. No, it's roasted mushrooms. And melted Swiss cheese. It is a burger. Ah, well, thanks for the tip. I'll have to get one of those. Andrew says, stay strong, King. Thanks, I will. Luke says, wish me luck, big guy. I turned 29 today. One more year until I become a boomer. All the best from Australia, our greatest ally. Well, happy birthday. Hope it's a good one. Yeah, your swan song. Swan song for the 20s until you become a boomer. Hey, enjoy it while you can, right? Johnny says, I hear Michelle Malkin is going to be in Boston on Saturday leading a pro-ICE event. Local Groypers take notes. I plan on going to support her myself. Yeah, I don't know all the details. I guess she had a speech there that was recently canceled, but I'll support her any way I can. Cucked William Nardi says, hey, Nick, just letting you know I plan on shipping the package this week. I don't know what that means. Also, to all Boston Groypers, make sure to go support Malkin this Friday at Bentley. She deserves all the praise. Deus Benedicat. Okay, thank you. I don't know what the package is. I hope that's not a euphemism for something bad. Jabba says, you're being criticized by ineffective talkers. Zoomers, Groypers just continue to take action in the third dimension, shaking up the fakes. Thank you, Nick, from a Gen Xer. Well, thanks. Yeah, we're operating on a higher level. We're playing 4D chess. John says, it's extremely sad that 200... Okay, I'm not reading this. Bulba says, remember, guys, that we love Jews here. Facts. I love Jews so much. Hey, yo, Benny Johnson. Yo, bitch. Benny Johnson, clip this. I love Jews, all right? And anybody that opposes Jews should go to jail. And that's the bottom line, because I said so. Okay, you got a problem with Jews. You got something nasty to say with Jews. You take it up with me. You got to go through me, all right? Those people have been picked on enough. They're basically powerless in this country. Those Jewish people that you make fun of, why don't you pick on somebody your own size? All right, these poor people with no institutional support, they've got no representation in media or Hollywood or banking or the government or any major power center in the country. You're going to beat up on these helpless people. They cannot defend themselves. What does that say about you, huh? What does that say about you, huh? Despicable anti-Semite. I'm going to call up the ADL and get you fired from your job just for thinking about it, all right? So yeah, we want to make it clear this show is pro-Jew. This is the, you know, my first choice for a title was America First. My second choice was Jewish First, of course. You know, the chosen. Let's see. And that's unironic. You know, if nobody can be ironic, if it's all tongue-in-cheek dog whistling, yo, being completely unironic here, all right? Just like with all the rest. Bob says, someone who edits Wikipedia, go add Nick's photo. Please, if you edit Wikipedia, just delete the page. Just say, He does not meet the requirement for, what is it, they're not prominent enough or whatever. Just do that. I do not want a Wikipedia page. Colton the drummer says, happy America vs. couple here. Uncontainable excitement from the past month. The fire rises. Everyone pray for the America First movement and its leaders. Christ's name is being spread and there's hope for this nation. I agree. Well, thanks from the America First couple. Thanks for watching. Great to hear that we've got couples. Presumably this means latent families. So that's great to hear. Glad you guys are sharing in the victory. The victory belongs to all of us. Much appreciated. Vikings is all right. I'm getting sick and tired of this optics whoring on this show and in our super chats. Someone just has to say it. Poo poo pee pee. Oh, well. Well, that just goes to show that how can I oppose free speech when I just gave you this mic, right? Like Charlie Kirk said, how can I oppose free speech? How can I be an optics cuck when I just gave you the platform with the super chat? Poo poo pee pee. We're giving rational arguments against that tonight. Patriot says, love what you're doing, Nick. Thanks. Matthew says, can I get a Jesus is King in the chat? Love you all. Deus Benedicat. Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, we'll get that in chat. Bob says, did something happen to Joe Rogan? I don't know. Silvio says, Jon Stewart's most popular bit was Italian guy. Jewish comedians have a long tradition of incorporating Italianness into their acts. But Paisans don't care because they're not pussies. Simple as. Well, it's a little bit more than that, but yeah, that is notable. Jewish people do mock Italians all the time. And then Italians mock Jewish people, and they get called anti-Semites. So that's nice. It's cool how that works, right? Everybody gets to make fun of Italians and go, pizza, gabagool, and all this. Oh, that's funny. That's just rich and funny. Never mind all the Italians that got lynched and got discriminated against in American history. Never mind all that. But Italians like me make fun of Jews, and you're an anti-Semite. Oh, you hate Jews. We should kill you. Your life is destroyed. Oh, I see how it works. So dumb. But Italians, we have balls. So that's the difference. Italians, we don't take it from anybody, right? It's in my DNA. It's in my DNA from my ancestors. They don't take it. I could quote some. I don't want to say some of the off-color things that have been passed through the generations, but let's just say some very based and red-pilled Italians in the family. Nate Dogg says, Alex Jones is one of the greats. Very happy to see him on the right side of all this. The difference with him are no big deal. What's more important is being big tents. We stop the satanic globalists. Exactly right. And you're right. He is one of the greats. He's the best. I am so hungry right now. I'm like getting dizzy. I'm like Paul Blart Mall Cop. I need a candy bar. And that's not, by the way, that is not a request from the producer to interrupt my flow and, interrupt me. But it's just to say, I feel like, remembering that last scene when he's going after, he throws hot sauce in the guy's eye and he passes out because he's got low blood sugar. That's like me doing this show. I'm like practically passing out here. I haven't eaten since breakfast. I had a bowl of oatmeal and a couple of fried shrimp and a yogurt drink. That was lunch today. Bowl of oatmeal, couple of leftover fried shrimp and a yogurt drink. Breakfast, lunch of the America First Right. Anyway, says, I love you, man. You have transformed my worldview and given me so much hope and inspiration. I'll do right by you and your efforts. Well, thank you so much. That's all we're asking for is a little reciprocity. I take care of the masses and the masses take care of me. It's like that meme of Master Splinter and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I am nice to the young Zoomers. I'm showing them the way. And then when Master Splinter gets old and he needs your help, well, then the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will protect me. They will shepherd me in the dark times. That's my bet. That's my great gamble here. One of you Zoomers is going to make it big. One of you Zoomers has become a billionaire, a millionaire, and you got to take care of old Nick. You got to go back and say, Nick red-pilled me, showed me the way. He's where I am today. I'm gonna write him a check. I'm gonna write him a check every month, just because we gotta support our great grandpa, great uncle Nick. That's the gambit. Because when I started out, the Zoomers weren't throwing much money my way, right? College kids. It's not exactly the right demographic, as opposed to the Boomers that have all the yacht money. But the gambit is one day they will rise up and they'll return the favor, and I will be able to be safe from these attacks on my livelihood. But let's see, Johnny says, don't know about you, but I, for one, welcome our Jewish overlords. See, Benji, I'm a good boy. Don't ban me, please. Yeah, might as well, right? Silvio's is any ethnicity or race that polices how they're represented is either insecure or is being manipulative for power. Remember that. Well, it's something to consider. W.V. Groyper says, I read today that a West Virginia library had to cancel Drag Queen Story Hour after locals complained. People are waking up. Praise God. Yes, they are. Bella says, hey, Nick, did you see Michael Knowles exposing you? Yeah, Michael Knowles is a scumbag, and he's lying about me. He's committing the sin of calumny. He said I threatened to stab Ben Shapiro. That's just an outright lie. He said I threatened to stab Ben Shapiro because while I was streaming about Shapiro, I was waving a knife around, which maybe if you don't know anything about me, that would like come across as maybe inappropriate, right, or confusing. But that's my thing. I have a knife around all the time in my streams, and I even said it's a joke. It's not meant as a threat. Even if you didn't get the joke, it's a far cry to have a knife in hand than it is to say he threatened to stab you, you know? So that's just outright libel, and, you know, he's going to have to go to confession for that. So shame on Michael Knowles. Shame on him. Shame on that man, you know? Faker. Total faker. But let's see. Yeah, he really exposed me. Yeah, that baby man. Baby. You know, he's an Italian, too. What a shameful little man. Italian and Catholic. And this is how you treat us? This is how you massacre our boy? Please. No balls. No, he's one of these northern Italians. It's like in The Sopranos. You know, you've got, what is it? Dr. Melfi. Her family that is so ashamed of the mobsters and all the rest. That's Michael Knowles. You know, he wants to be, oh, the sophisticated wine-drinking, you know, metrosexual Italian. And I'm like, oh, gabagool. You know, it's not a perfect analogy, but it might as well be, right? I'm the Italian that's, you know, maybe making a bad name, but we're doing the right thing. We're protecting this family. I'm the boss of this family. You know, that's kind of the energy that we get. I can't do the New Jersey accent, but you get the picture. Michael Knowles is like, they make us look so bad. Here's my little suit, and here's my wine. They make us look so bad as Italians. Yeah, okay, dainty man. Okay, you know, we're about the, I think I'm a little taller than him, but you know, this dainty little fancy man dressing up like a girl at Daily Wire. Okay, bro. This is the difference between the Chad Southern Italian. I don't know if he's Northern Italian or not, but he exudes that energy. The Chad Calabrese, the Chad Southern Italian versus the virgin Northern Italian, you know, cucked. You know, he's got that Angloid energy, got that Nordic energy, which is spoiling him. Doesn't have the med vibe, right? Let's see. 11th Hour says, hey, big guy, great D live stream today. We're all with you. Question, what's your thoughts on flushable toilet paper? My mom red-pilled me on them last year. I don't know. Isn't all toilet paper flushable? I don't know what to say to that one. Michael says, attorney here, think about activating memberships on YouTube. With memberships, you'll have a business relationship between you and the members. This can protect you from YouTube removing your channel. Yeah, I don't think that's true. I've heard that from a lot of people. Sounds like bullshit to me. The idea that YouTube just doesn't have their bases covered. You know, Google owns YouTube, and they've just got this big oversight. Oh, did you know that if you have a membership, there's this loophole where they can't ban you? Yeah, doubt. Okay, yeah, I'm sure Google's got this loophole in their membership system where they just don't know about it. You know about it, but Google doesn't know about it. Yeah, I'm just going to have to be doubting on that one. Michael says, what up, Kraka? What do you think will happen when whites have become a minority? South Africa too. South Africa too, maybe Brazil, for lucky. Mr. Anonymous says, did you see the cringe Mr. Avalon posted on his Instagram saying genetic differences between races are the same as differences between tall and short people? Yeah, the guy's an idiot. What can you say? He said, oh, well, there's a 99-point-something% difference in DNA, so they're the same. It's like, there's a 99-point-something% difference in DNA between us and bananas. Between us and, you know, tarantulas and leaves, as there is. Right? The point being, this does not dispute the obvious and empirically demonstrated racial differences in IQ and in other things, temperament, you know, physical attributes, skin color being the most obvious. So it's just wrong. Torque says, Owen Benjamin said he will debate. JF said he would debate. Will you accept either? Thanks for the Groyper Wars, a white pill like no other. Well, it's interesting. Owen Benjamin backed out of our last debate. Yeah, I talked to him on the kill stream, sure. And JF, I would do it on the kill stream. I wouldn't do it on this show. I don't want to sully the reputation of the show with low IQ cringe lords, but yeah, sure. sure, I will definitely... Well, with Owen, we don't want to give him more attention, but you know what? If he wants to confront me, I'll call him out for being a faker, and then we'll never talk to him ever again. But sure, yeah, if he's game for that, I'll expose everything about him, even things that people don't already know. Rub Maps says, did you know Sam Cedar cheated on his wife and she divorced him last year? He has two young kids. What a loser. I did not know that. I don't even really know who Sam Cedar is, so I don't really know what the stakes are on that one. Kevin says, free Big Mac money for my bro. Well, thanks. John says, Virginia was lost due to demographics, mostly due to illegal immigrants and immigrants from the Middle East. Yeah. Blake says, you are doing God's work. Stay strong, Nick. Thanks. Evan says, much love from the Deseret Nation today. Love what you're doing. Keep fighting for Christ. Hashtag Desnat. Okay, yikes. A Mormon check? Yo, can I get a Mormon check in chat? I believe that's a Mormon thing, right? I don't know. Look, Mormons are, rank and file Mormons are generally okay, but I don't know if we're on the same page, obviously, theologically, and the Mormon lobby can be somewhat problematic in some cases, but thank you, I appreciate that. Lama says, have those states with demographic change tried Austrian economics? They just need to read, you know, Ludwig von Mises' book on credit and money, you know, and then we'll be okay. We just need to adjust time preference by adjusting interest rates through a monetarist system or a gold standard, and, you know, everything will be just fine. Doesn't matter that these people are coming from Nicaragua and Nigeria. It'll all just work out. Dark Base says, next Democrat debate, Booker be like, una hamburguesa con queso suizo. Okay, is this all in Spanish? Good luck and good job, King. Well, thanks. Yeah, he would be like that. Cycles says anti-groiperism is inherent in the conservative DNA. Big thanks from a longtime viewer and first-time super chatter. Keep up the great work, King. Well, thanks so much. Werner says, Ave Maria. Nick, I've only recently discovered you, but I'm standing hard. The time is now for young Catholics to courageously obtain abundant graces, learn about Our Lady of Fatima, and pray the rosary daily. Yeah, very much agree with all that. Thank you. Chris says, if immigration is shut off to pre-immigration act levels, what do we incentivize having children to reverse the trend and or shrink certain demographics? I'm not in favor of shrinking demographics. Just shut off the spigot. No more immigration, moratorium on immigration, and then just have pro-family policies. Make it affordable to have a family for the middle class and for the working class. So that would be, you know, paid maternity leave. Maybe that is UBI. Maybe that's some degree of, you know, healthcare. I don't know what that would look like. I'm not a healthcare expert, but some degree of subsidized medical care. Tax benefits for people with kids and people that are married. You know, things like that go a long way, and the Republican Party should make that a platform. Affordable family care. I don't care about the debt. I don't really care about any of that. It needs to be affordable to have families in the country again. It needs to be incentivized with tax benefits, tax credits, all kinds of things. I'm not a policy wonk, but you know that's the gist of it. That's a general direction it should take. And yeah, net zero immigration is the goal. Racist Yoda says, take this shekel from one Hispanic to another. Thanks. Dequarius is kind of off topic, but thoughts on AMLO? What is AMLO? AMLO is, that sounds, president of Mexico, right, Obrador. I don't really know anything about him. I know he's like hardcore left wing, and I watched a video about him recently where he's doing these like referendums where, what is it, he does these referendums before he gets into office, and like a very small percentage of the population votes on him, and he uses this as a mandate to make these radical policy changes. It's kind of a shyster. I don't really follow Mexican politics very closely. So I don't really know what... He's just ineffective, I guess. Not a very effective guy. Reshi says, just learned that the EU passed a resolution which demands things such as a Black History Month in school, or the 2015 to 2024 will be declared as a decade of people with African heritage. Can we get an F in chat for the homeland? Is that true? If so, that is just such a disaster. Does nobody see what's wrong with this? The decade of people with African heritage. Could it be more obvious? That sounds almost like parody, but nothing surprises me anymore. Bert says, kneel for communion and don't use birth control. Outbreed Satanists. Agree. Racist Yoda is based Hispanic here. Okay. Chris is also, Nick, not to black pill, but what would you see the odds being chances of a second American Civil War within the next decade? There's really no way to predict anything like that. So, Racist Yoda, societal collapse, yes or no? Probably not. Not anytime soon. Macaroni says, Nikas tried to say that I was canceled when I asked them questions, couldn't answer, says Kanye. Well, that doesn't sound like any Kanye lyric I've ever heard, so I'm sure you butchered the lyric there. Chris says, follow-up, over-under on U.S. balkanization. Yeah, there's just no... The variables are so great. Anybody who talks about this stuff is ridiculous. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 months or the next election, let alone how it's going to play out in 5 years, 10 years, long-term. Odds of balkanization? That's a bad question. Very bad question. Royal Winds says, if the rule we have followed brought us to this, of what use was the rule? Yeah, exactly. Really great point. Kid Trunks says, I grew up in East L.A., 3% white. Save us, King. I don't know if there's any saving for East L.A. Pack Waves says, I scored a 16 on my ACT. Good or bad? Pretty bad. Yeah, right, says, was Bush family going Hispanic a strategic move? Yes, it was, and it didn't pan out, obviously. 35%? That was the high water mark, and we brought in 11 million immigrants in the first 5 years. Yeah, that was a big success. Cthulhu says, we take in masses from countries that hate us, and we'll get destroyed from the inside out. Arabs hate us, they call us infidels, and behead us infidels. Yeah, the Arab immigration is really not the problem, right? It's happening, but let's just look at the numbers. Who are the people coming over here? It's really not Arabs, so kind of a boomer take there. Alan says, it's crazy that a higher percentage of blacks vote Republican than whites own slaves. Well, the percentage of whites that own slaves was very, very, very tiny. I think it was in single digits. So, yeah, pretty interesting. Oh, vote Republican. Yeah, yeah. What is it, 7 or 9% of... I was thinking percentage of blacks that vote Democrat. Yeah. Blacks vote Republican at, you know, something like, what, 7% or something. And I think whites own slaves at a rate of 4, 5, 6%, something thereabouts. Self-Revolution says, look into John Leary. He has been getting daily. Getting daily what? Okay. Foy Lee says, finally saw your interview with Amazing Lucas, and it was the best presentation and defense of your ideas yet. It's what I'm using to show friends and family who have their doubts about you. Great work. Well, thanks. Yeah, yeah, I'm glad these interviews are going around, you know, the good faith discussions where I'm able to actually explain myself, you know, and then I think people find me reasonable. So thanks. I'm glad you found that one to be compelling. Rudolph says, immigration aside, shouldn't Republicans move away from the pro-corporate, pro-wealthy rhetoric in favor of a more pro-working platform? Yeah, definitely. Sven Krull says, how many people do you think agree with our views on mass immigration, the sexualization of children, etc.? I mean, is it coming to direct conflict? Thanks for all you're doing. Big fan from the Midwest. It is not coming to direct conflict. These boomers are not going to, you know, fight anybody anytime soon. Who would be the ones fighting? When people talk about civil war, who do you imagine are going to be the people taking up arms? Where is that going to come from? Is it going to come from the boomers? Is it going to come from, you know, Generation Z? I don't see anybody taking up arms anytime soon. People are going to work. They're watching TV. They're too comfortable, you know, for anything like that to happen. And I don't say that in a way that's pro or con. I'm against something like that happening, but it's just the state of things. There's just no immediate sign of that happening. You know, things were worse in the 70s, and we were far away from a civil war when you had real political terrorism and people really on edge and Vietnam War going on and all that. So I think it's pretty far out. And how many people agree with us? Probably the majority, I would say, but it's difficult to quantify. Self-Revolution says, messages from Jesus for 20 years. John Leary, okay. Nerd Kelly says, why should the franchise apply equally to emaciated, vagrant, Silicon Valley insectoids or Oaxacan automatons who moved to Austin? Why should they have equal voting rights to heritage Texans? Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that's the right question. Great question. Wow. The question is, you know, the whole point of democracy is the people have a stake in their country, a stake in the future. The question of universal suffrage should be investigated. Why is that a good thing? Why should we have that? You know, that's taken as a given, but it should be interrogated against what the founders had to say about a lot of this stuff. Let's see. The good doctor says, turn my brother-in-law on to you. The Infowars thing finally convinced him. Ah, well, very good. Gianni says, I recommend reading Catholic Republic by Timothy Gordon. Let's see. Gringo says, God bless Michelle Malkin. Yeah, big agree. Stanislaw says, Ho's mad. By the way, I'm the guy who hates, what is this? Viets? Vietnamese? Okay, I don't know what that means. Stanislaus says, I don't know why, but I got a bunch of free super chats. Oh, thanks. White Pill Delivery says, I got my 10-month-old daughter into America first. Now it's all goo goo gaga, Nick. Dot, 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 Nick. Ba, 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 Nick. I played myself, but seriously, shout out for the littlest Nicklet. Yeah, well, shout out to the baby. Shout out to the America First baby, official baby of the show. Glad the baby, the daughter, well, she's a femoid, but hey, glad she likes the show. Hopefully she'll grow up to be, you know, a proud America Firster, you know, like Michelle Malkin before her. Lucius says, some low IQ individual in the chat just asked us to define white culture. Western world check? Yeah, hello, Shakespeare check? Mozart check? Raffel says, take YouTube shekels, thanks. Chase says, you look like a baby compared to Alex Jones. Well, I mean, that would make sense. Alex Jones is like twice my age, so. That man who is older than you made you look younger. Well, I mean, yeah, he is older than me, so. Yeah, that makes sense. Son of Rome says, all politics is identity politics. Yeah, basically true. Classical Positioning says, why are underhanded things off limits? Antifa love to riot. Okay, Fed Talk and Chad banned. Nib would be like, why are we not committing crimes? I don't know, dude, because we're not falling for your federal agent tactics. Why are you not buying a firearm off me in a parking lot, you know? And then you get arrested, and then you're, as they say in, who is it, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Fed, you know, spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag being used and abused till you serve like hell till one day you're found hung dead in a cell. I mean, this is what they're talking about. This is what they want to do to you. They want to get you. They want to use you. So, yeah, nice try, Fed. Stanislaw, okay, I'm just not reading this. I don't know what this means. Mr. Trenchcoats says, $2 super chats are the hyoid bone of America First. Okay, don't know what that is. scroll down a little too far. Where are we here? These super chats are really high quality. I'm glad we got back to the normal super chats. This is way better than, you know, everybody saying, oh, thanks so much. These are way better. Harold says, hey, big guy, just to change the subject, I went to the toilet today without my phone in hand. I have exactly almost 150 tiles in my bathroom. Oh, congratulations. Hi, Ali says, who you think Trump will run against, bro? I don't know. Either Joe Biden or Warren, but I don't know. It's tough to say now. Joe Biden seems to be doing okay. Elizabeth Warren is stagnating a little bit, but we'll see what happens in the debate tomorrow. Elliot Smith says, classical liberalism gave us the money controllers, which gave us mass immigration, which gave us socialism. Is the answer a return to classical liberalism or to remove moneyed people first? Well, yeah, I think what you're talking about is systemic problems in like liberal capitalism and liberal democracy, which I agree with. Yeah, the roots of it have to be investigated, truly. A guy in the crowd says, can this be the official Groiper emoji? No. Patrick says, I'm a new Groiper as of today, discovering this movement. Happy to join you, lads. Oh, well, thanks. We're going to keep an eye on you. Harris says, deny the Groiper, pay the price. Yeah, you're going to pay the price, right? Yuvon says, free super chat here. Very worried for the future of my state, Georgia. But at least for the moment, our governor, Brian Kemp, is based. Yeah, Kemp is pretty cool. Keegan says, we can't adopt minorities into the Republican Party by luring them in with the promises of preserving their constitutional freedoms and traditions of America when they vote based on their pocket. I don't think they vote based on their pocket, but the idea that we can't lure them in to vote GOP is definitely the overarching problem. You know, this pocketbook thing, I don't know. We've been trying to pander to them on that basis for decades, and how's that working? Swamp says, Nick, is it true that you said the N-word at IHOP? Yeah, it is true. I did say the N-word at IHOP one time, and it was very funny, and it was very epic, and everyone clapped. As the Crow Flies says, Charlie Kirk, who cares if I'm selling out the country and my children's birthright? At least I can get a burger with melted Swiss mushrooms and caramelized onions on the dollar menu. That's hot stuff. Yeah, this guy would do anything for a melted Swiss roasted mushrooms and caramelized onions burger. This guy would do anything for hot stuff. Total traitor. He goes to a number of different places for that. What a sicko. But thanks for the big super chat. White culture says, so it's a baby talk super chat. Thanks. Neil Armstrong says, Michelle Malkin at Babson on Friday. Boston Groipers. Yes, good to know. WBS says, would you endorse giving Ben Shapiro a wet willy? No, I don't know. People shouldn't do that to him. That would be probably a crime. Ben Shapiro would get his lawyers on the case, but it would be funny if that happened. Alcibiades says, federal judge Mariana Failzer, a Jewish-born Carter-appointed judge, killed Proposition 187. Purely coincidence, right? Oh, yeah, really groundbreaking take there, big guy. That's such a good point. Justin says, so what's the plan? How do we reverse this mess? Just trust the plan, big guy. Just trust the plan. America First Jew says, Nick, I can't have a good burger with melted Swiss cheese and roasted mushrooms and caramelized onions. It's not kosher. Many such Jewish places don't sell, so you can't really get this at a number of different places. You can't get this hot stuff. You can't have good burgers like this in your time. And that is a pretty sad thing. I'm sorry for you. Maybe they'll make a non-kosher alternative. Who knows? Neon says, a bank exec said to me himself, immigration is great, and refer to them as human capital. That is, human imports of overinflated value is great for business. That's exactly right. That's how they see it, is economic units. They'll pay taxes, take out loans, put money in the bank in very rare cases, right? Work, toil, spend. That's how they see it. Cogs in the economic machine. Robert says, we'll know it's too late when LA goes full Haiti. Yeah, well, if it's not there already. Flat Horizon says, hey, Nick, huge fan. How can I eat a Big Mac without the middle bun sliding all over? Go buy yourself a couple of Big Macs, King. Well, thanks. Just got to hold it down. I don't know what to tell you, but you just got to be smart about it. Swamp says, thanks for that. C says, you are a force of nature. You are draining the conservative swamp. Add another female to the Groiper board. Well, I'll add you to the Groiper cheerleaders, maybe. Groiper board. Oh, whoa. Let's slow down there. I don't think there's any females on the Groiper board here. Michelle Malkin's honorary Groiper. She's on the board. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Femboy'd be like, sign me up. I'm a Groiper board member. Oh, not so fast. Thanks for the support. Thank you. I appreciate the kind words, but your job is to produce more Groipers for the army. You're supposed to pump more out, right? That's maybe a crude way to put it, but hey, we appreciate your support. We love you. I love you the best, but the chairman of the board says guys only. Benjamin says, you have Gorka paranoid. I've called from different numbers and with different voices. They inquisition every caller. They're definitely hanging up on boomers by mistake. One time the screener mentioned you by name. Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's so funny, these kinds of like very low-cost guerrilla tactics that we can use. And we're just rubbing sand in their eyes, and it's so worth it. It's so funny, and they deserve it. Anony says, we won the Groiper War, but Bill Clinton won the Groper War. Okay, Boomer, yeah, great joke. It's 20 years old, and we're still making the Bill Clinton joke. Yeah, classic. Pacific Loon says, watching Nick play GTA 5 is very white-pilling, self-defense scenarios. Yeah, that's great. Mr. Maxwell says, love the Southern accent impression you did on D-Live. If you're ever in Mississippi, I'll hook you up with some sweet iced tea and some of the best mac and cheese you can get. Dixie Knickers will rise up. Well, thanks. I'll take you up on that. I don't really have any reason to go to Mississippi. I was just talking to BJ Coomby the other day, and he's like, when are you going to come through to Mississippi? I'm like, I'm not really going to be anywhere near Mississippi anytime soon. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. No offense. But if I ever make it down, I'd like to get some good mac and cheese. No grits. I don't like grits. I don't like, I don't love iced tea, but if it's sweet, I'll give it a shot. But thanks, buddy. I love Dixies. It's all love. I'm just being funny, Dan C. with a big super chat. Thank you so much. He says, thanks for your dedication and hard work, King. Well, thank you so much for the big super chat. God bless. It means a lot. It makes a show like this worth it when I'm tired and drained and hungry and I got to be on the radio tomorrow at 8 a.m. 8 a.m. At least I don't have to get dressed. I can just call in, right? Sanoff says, we are going to have to escalate and deal with traitorous leftists. Do you mean traitorous, like conservatives or fake conservatives? I think that's the gist of it, but yeah. This escalation talk is very Fed sounding to me. Boopers says, thanks for the gaming comments. People are ragging on me for loving the new Pokemon because it's simple. People without real jobs will ruin games. Yeah, all these people that can sit around and play games all day. I guess I could do that, but I don't want to. I do kind of sit around all day, but I'm like, on social media and doing email stuff and doing America First business, but there's also a lot of, just tomfoolery as well, but you know what I'm talking about, people that don't have any real concerns. that are dominating gaming, professional gamers, is, you know, they're turning it into this thing where the only way you can enjoy a game is if you basically, you know, that's your full-time thing. Cheesehead says, Gavin did a 20-minute segment on Groypers last night, didn't disavow, called Groypers trad right versus conservative ink being new right. Epic show tonight. Well, that's surprising, because Gavin traditionally has shied away from discussing me or what we're doing, so if that's the case, I didn't see his comments, but I'm very pleasantly surprised. I've always liked Gavin. I disagree with a lot of things he said and some of the tactics, and we've made fun of some things he's done, but I always have maintained that he's a funny guy. You know, and I have to say, a lot of these people say, oh, Nick, but he's a cock. I get this all the time. But Nick, he's a cock, don't you? I know, he shoved the thing up his ass. That was weird, okay? And the kiss was weird, okay? Granted. But I'll say, you know, look, we have to pay a little bit of homage to the people that got us here. Did anybody start out based in Red Pill? Who among us started out with these views? Or did you start watching? You know, I started watching Gavin McInnes on Red Eye with Greg Gutfeld when I was in high school. You know, and then I watched him on Rebel Media. I watched his Vans Off the Wall videos, you know. So we all got here somewhere. And at a certain level, unless they're outright attacking me, unless they're outright trying to make my life more difficult, I'm willing to say, you know, okay, we don't see eye to eye. We don't see eye to eye. And that helps me because I'm not lumped in with the butt activities. And that helps you because you're not lumped in with everything I've said. But we can have a mutual respect. We can have a Big Ten movement. It's important to remember that kind of thing. Important to be tactical about these things going forward. You know, it's so funny. The same people that defend me against guilt by association use it against me when I associate with alt-light people, you know? I took that picture with Milo the other week. Back in July, and people said, oh, that means he cucked, that means he sold out. And then I did the most hardcore shows I'd ever done in August and September in the following months, you know? So we're trying to create a Big Ten movement, we're trying to make connections, inroads. Remember, trust the plan. Have I ever let you down? Whenever I say trust the plan, do I ever let you down? You know, people still doubt me. I do a thing and the knee jerk is, oh, that's just terrible, whatever. Trust the plan, folks. I'm not going anywhere. You see what I'm about, right? So I'll be going to New York City next month. And I told Milo this. He's been inviting me on the show. It'd be very impolite to turn him down. He said, I want you to come on my show. I said, okay, I'll come on my show. I'll come on your show. We'll discuss it. So I'll be there, I think, the first week in December. And I know a lot of people are going to say, ugh. I know. And I don't want to say that because it's like I'm between a rock and a hard place here. It's impolite for me to say that to him because he's inviting me. He's being a host. I want to be gracious. But also I understand the concerns, you know. So I'm in a tough optical position. But you got to understand that we are building a Big Ten movement. And the more people that we can get on our side, the more people that we can get saying, yeah, they're okay, we'll hear them out, whatever. The more people we can get to help to work against the smears, the better it is, you know? So talking to people, associating with people doesn't mean, in the same way that Michelle Malkin supporting me doesn't mean she supported everything I've ever said, you know, me going on a show or endorsing people doesn't mean I endorse. And the reason I have to say this is because it's like we're getting attacked from every angle this week, and it's like you need to do one misstep or people don't like it, and, you know, they come down hard on you, they make these presumptuous things, so I have to explain it away, but I guess I should care a lot less and just, you know, just sort of do it and the results will speak for themselves. Trust the plan or don't. The plan will unfold regardless, right? But in any case, I thought I would tell you now, you know, so people are like, oh, this guy is going on the show, whatever. Anyway, Cheesehead says, or I just read that. Mr. Lennon says, would you debate Sam Harris if he was down? Yes, I would. Sadith says, just want to say this while the storm is at its peak. I stand with you, and moreover, I avow you a million times. I avow you publicly. Okay, well, I don't know who you are, but thanks. Jay says, funny how JLP says to speak up as men, but the Groypers shouldn't speak up on behalf of their country. Yeah, it was a very weird segment today. I don't know what that was about. Sarah says, Catholic Femoid here. See you in the chat, boys and girls. Okay, thanks. Thank you, based Catholic Femoid. Yeah, a lot of based Femoids with based memes. When you say grills instead of girls, that's so fucking based, girl. Thank you. Thank you, girlfriend. Oh, thanks so much. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. Thanks. We appreciate the super chat. Appreciate the, based femoid. Thank you. robots. As Molyneux just put out a new video, it'd be a shame if he got ratioed. I don't really care to do that to him. Like, it's just disappointing. I'm not, like, mad. It's just disappointing. Joseph says, idea calling our immigration position pre-64ers. Okay, bad idea. That's a bad idea. Pre-64ers. Yeah, that really rolls off the tongue. And also be pre-65ers, and also, it sucks. Sorry, but let the Optics King determine the names, all right? FF says, never be discouraged, Nick. The fight you took to the grift right was too big to be ignored. You gathered an army behind you to fight for the truth. That's something the e-grifters can only dream of. Yeah, I get discouraged sometimes, but I always rise to the occasion. So I pray that God will strengthen my hand, right? That's all we're about. RA says, agreed on Steve Franson's content. Very sage-like energy. He's like the Ra's al Ghul to Nick's Joker. Or Bane, you know, maybe Bane is appropriate in that comparison, but I get what you mean. Lucas Groiper says, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us, Nick, and us Groipers, now at the hour of our death. Amen. I think that might be blasphemous. I don't know if that's blasphemous to say. I'm not an expert, but I'd be careful of that. Sotirius says, Hey, King, what are the chances that Trump will reverse mass legal immigration policy? Probably unlikely. Cultural Oncologist says, congrats on winning the Groiper Offensive. I've been following it since the start. I have my own podcast focused on solutions to Bizarro World, by the way. Oh, cool. So you follow it and you have your own podcast. Well, cool. Thanks. Good for you. Not a Boomer says, hey, Nick, I just bought a new telescope. Any stars you recommend that I should stare at? I don't know what that means. Let's see. Racist Yoda says, non-Catholics are cringe. Agree. Banks says, used to be a big Stefan fan. Not anymore. Yep, can relate. Silvio says, notice that unlike pro-white attitudes, pro-black ones are flagrantly anti-white, based in bitterness, resentment, and hatred, along with narcissistic, pornographic revisions of history. It's an absolute scandal how this stands. Yeah, I hear you, bro. You're preaching to the choir. It's true. Yeah, the pro-black stuff is, in many cases, very anti-white. You're right, very bitter, very resentful. And, you know, people who are standing up for white identity are, you know, the opposite of that. I mean, we're purely adopting a defensive posture, trying to preserve our own culture, you know, trying to harm nobody. So, yeah, it is a very telling contrast. Draven says, hey, Nick, as an agnostic inquiring into orthodoxy, I support what you do and look forward to the future. P.S. Read the Church Fathers. Okay, thanks. Bra Moment says, some femboy call me a boomer. I want a Fed post. Please don't. But I get it. Humongous says, thoughts on hot stuff like burgers with Swiss cheese, caramelized onions, and grilled mushrooms. I hear you can get them in many places. Oh, thanks. Prussian says, Big Mac good, but can we get a rate of the Baconator? I actually don't think I've ever had a Baconator. Legalized Ketchup says, say sub to Zawist on iFunny, please, my good man. Okay, there you go. Ralph Groiper says, you made the notable alumni in your high school Wikipedia page, though. Yeah, a friend of mine put that on there. Andrew says, you are winning. JF was funded by Jeffrey Epstein. If you don't know, look it up. JF is shady for sure. Yeah, I agree. I knew about that. Erica Nance says, generally, girls these days aren't the best at choosing a mate. Only women who get red-pilled are. If she complains about her BF to other guys, run. No, I think men should choose. I think, you know, your husband should, or you're not husband, your father should have a say, your family member should have a say. It's all those blue-pilled women that don't have agency, but us red-pilled women, you know, we can make the decisions. Yeah, I don't know about that. I think it's kind of all or nothing, you know, this idea that what a femoid learns of the relevant facts. I don't even think femoids can adopt really strong political postures, generally. So I would push back on that. I would say, look, sure, femoids can choose their partners, females. You know, obviously it's their prerogative to choose their mates, but I think father should have input, parents should have input, family should have input, and similarly with a man and his wife, but much more so with the wife marrying a man, right? So that's my take. I would, but we're different. But we are quirky, though. But we are different. But we are not like the others because we are red-pilled. I don't know. Alex says, just watch the video of you debating Shapiro on Grand Theft Auto. Bro, I'm in tears. LMAO. Yeah, that was a good debate. Farmer says, remember, there's nothing new under the sun. It's okay if you find comparison with biblical passages. Yeah, true. Wages is going off the past two nights. Here's more e-books. Also, anyone notice Alex Jones saying Fuentes like Fuentes? I don't know why people have so much trouble. It's really not that hard, but it's Alex Jones. It's JLP. JLP calls me, what did he call me? Pointes, you know, Alex Jones calls me Fuentes. It's not Fuentes. It's really not hard. Fuentes, you know, there's many pronunciations. But yeah, that was funny. A Bible believer says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteous. Romans 4:5. Yes, very true. Diversity Steen says, haven't been watching the show because I had a basketball game. Just tuned in to say my game almost got shot up. Guys jumping on the court, technical foul every 5 minutes. At least my dad is red-pilled now. Wow, really cool story about your basketball game. That's great to know. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Adam says, take my scholarship money courtesy of Awe Marie University. Thanks. FF says, I'm going to send the super chat in appreciation of your producer. Love your work. Make sure Nick spends this money taking you out for a burger. Oh, I'm sure my producer will appreciate this. I certainly would just like to eat at this point. I certainly would just like to eat something, anything at this point. I would like to be freed from reading these super chats, which are derivative and, you know, in a lot of ways adding really nothing substantive to the conversation. But I would just love to get anything, sugar, calories, you know, something resembling sustenance. You know, what did God say? I will feed you spiritually. Well, I don't know. It's kind of not cutting it in this very moment, but I will finish all the super chats. Magnum says, watch the last few questions of the Klavan event at UCF from tonight. Somebody got a little bit groiped. Keep fighting. Good fight, Nick. Thanks. I'll check that out. Thank you. I'll check that out. Joseph says, wow, YouTube keeps giving me free super chats. Wow. Thanks for saying that. Tim says, considering debating that Uncle Turtle guy, LOL. No, he's a nobody. Legalized Ketchup says, eat the cotton candy in your attic to accelerate the collapse. Okay, thanks. Tempest says, anyone ever told you you look like a young Gavin McInnes? No, I don't think that's true. Garrett says, rather than a rep electoral winter, I think median voter shifts left and drags both parties left, and ours are forced to adopt liberalism with low taxes. Yeah, they'll do that, but they'll lose. So, well, I think it'll be different. Okay, well, you're wrong. There's no evidence for that. A local politician says, did you know Mormons baptize dead people by proxy? I'm an ex-Mormon and was baptized in place of a dead person several times. Weird stuff. I did not know that, but yeah, that is very weird. Didn't know that. Chris says, you're right. The odd questions I asked was pretty stupid, but it's hard to be optimistic on the future when half the country despises the other half and vice versa. Hard to imagine reconciliation. Well, nobody's asking you to be optimistic. Nobody's asking you to say, oh, everything's going to be okay, but it's just, you know, be realistic and have a little fortitude, which is not asking much. No Good says, fellow Leafs, support Don Cherry's new show out today, Base Canadian Patriot, betrayed by his friend and employers. Seeing him on Tucker was great. I have been following the Don Cherry thing, but yeah, sure, why not? Greg James says, thanks. Cartesian Driver says, at the same time, you should try it. Okay, try what? Racist Yoda says, fake milkers, yes or no? I don't know who that's referring to. Forrest Robinson says, have you read Why Liberalism Failed by Patrick Deneen? No. Cartesian Diver says, Groypers need to get involved in caucuses and primaries. It's the boomer delegates who put people like Crenshaw and Michael Lee on the ballot. Yeah, get involved in the party. Make Ohio Great Against His Dam. Missed the show. Been working an emergency job. Oh, okay. Josh Sarah says, dudes be like, bro, what's going to happen in 10 years? Nobody could predict we'd be where we're at in 2014. It's a different planet. It will be then, too. Exactly. It'll be a different planet in 2 years. And everybody, I think, can kind of get that. So to try to predict at this point is, to me, it's not really productive. And then there's nothing really that I can contribute that isn't just wild speculation. Cardboard says, very nice and informative show tonight for a 17 Zoomer. Your format is super accessible. You're epic, Nick. Well, thanks. Asher says, keep it up, Nick. Thanks. Anonymous Tipper says, there's an official website for Drag Queen Story Hour. Think there's enough political capital to justify protesting and videoing these events either in or outside? Maybe a good opportunity? Yeah, maybe. We'll look into it for sure. Second R says, who's the most crisp and slacks-pilled on our side? Oh, I don't know. Patrick Casey. He's pretty crisp. Party Goy's pretty crisp and classic as well. Donald's Angry says, free super chat for Nick. Thank you. White Fertility says, did you see you were on Drudge yesterday morning? No, I didn't see that at all. I was on Drudge yesterday morning? Didn't see that. Didn't quite catch that. Logan says all Nick had to do was touch his tie and shrug, and down went OB into a cringe spiral of demonic madness. And will we ever see you talk with E. Michael Jones? Yeah, he was on my show before. Make Ohio great against a spelling error and title. Okay. Well, that's our last super chat. Okay, so that's going to do it for us tonight. Wow. So, you know, tonight I was like, let's read everything. And now it's, you know, 2.5 hour show. But that's okay. That's going to do it for us tonight. Still in a timely fashion, relatively speaking. Ears are ringing a little bit dizzy, slurring my words a little bit, but that's okay. I'll eat a couple of Reese's Cups and some chili, and I'll be back. And I'll be back together for another long day tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow we are doing the live coverage of the 5th Democratic presidential debate on DLive. Not sure the time yet, but I'll post it on my Telegram and Twitter. So subscribe to us there. It's DLive.tv/NickJFuentes. We'll be watching it live there, coming back here on YouTube afterwards immediately for reaction, analysis, all that. So that's our plans tomorrow. Remember to subscribe to the channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell so you get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, thanks for watching. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love you. Thanks to all our super chatters, groypers, everybody supporting us. And, you know, shame on people that are not, right? So equally, it's a thankful, grateful thing, but it's also, you know, shame the people that are not. So thanks to everybody watching the show. We love you. And we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.